Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the weekend with the Drew and Mike Show in the Deals from the D.com studios. And since it's a Friday show, we've got a full house with Trudy Mark and Van Don. And, oh boy, I wish it was post-debate. We could talk about it, but oh well. Give us a couple days.
Stay on.
Something else will happen after the debate. Yes, yeah, stay on.
Might as well at this point, right?
Something will happen after the debate and before Sunday's recording that'll be more important to talk about anyway.
Oh, hell yeah.
So there you go.
Yep.
I did listen to... Did you guys listen to the 60 Minutes interview?
Oh, just clips of it, yeah. not straight through.
It was very interesting. I was surprised because I thought it was just going to be a big baby moment at the end and just by... It wasn't that much more contentious at the end
as
it was pretty much throughout.
No.
But I still found it... I was surprised how long I stayed with it because... It was definitely a battle between these two. I don't think I want to call them titans, but she's been reporting for a long, long time.
She's interviewed him before. You know, they have a history.
When did... Yeah, I couldn't recall. What was the most recent interview? I mean, was there a memorable one?
She has definitely interviewed him since he has been either running or has been president. She's interviewed him.
I thought since she'd been president, because I remember walking through the White House.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe at the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's Leslie, put a f***ing sock in it.
She was an interesting choice to interview him. Although, you know, I'm not sure who in the 60 Minutes stable or who is in the stable exactly.
Well, Nora O'Donnell is doing the Biden one, which it's kind of like, wouldn't you rather have the same reporter do both?
Well, then somebody else, you know, people will complain that the person's biased.
Well, they'll complain anyway.
Yeah, they will. You're right.
What about Scott Pelley?
Yeah, where's Scott?
No, he's for Alma.
Scott Pelley is somebody who I would probably trust to do the interviews.
I dig Pelley's action.
I don't know that he would really dig in as much as some other people will or would.
Is Steve Croft too soft?
Well, he's not dead. Who's the guy that just died?
Mike Wallace.
No, Morley Safer?
Oh, Morley Safer.
No, I don't know.
Just died?
Oh, who's the one that died in the car accident?
Oh.
Recently.
Oh.
60 Minutes.
Recently being like the last 4 or 5 years. Oh, doesn't matter.
In a car accident.
Yeah, no, New York City?
This is breaking news.
I thought he was very Croft-esque. He had just retired, maybe? I don't know.
That would be Morley Safer, probably, because he died right after he retired.
Well, Morley Safer wasn't a street racer.
He wasn't in a car. Oh, boy. I wish you could...
Bob Simon?
Bob Simon. Bob Simon was the best.
Yeah. Wasn't he the one who he had the microwave story where he's counting 1,000 to 1,000? It was Bob Simon, right?
Sure.
Wait, what's the microwave story? This is going way deeper than I ever dreamed.
The secret weapon that's like in a microwave and it heats up.
Remember he was shot and he went...
Remember that story?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's funny. I was not even thinking of Bob Simon as being in the 60 Minutes stable, but he was in the stable at one time. But yeah, not being alive, he probably couldn't do a very good interview. But in the end, I thought Leslie, after watching it, she was probably a pretty good choice. Because,
damn it, Leslie, shut your f***ing pie hole!
Like I said, there's a history, so...
I think I mistakenly thought yesterday that... I couldn't quite picture how a Leslie Stahl Trump interview would end that way. But then once I started seeing it, it all made sense. Not that she did anything. I just think I sort of, I don't want to say I underestimated Leslie Stahl. I just thought she would be less contentious, I guess. And Trump's biggest complaint was, you're not going to interview Joe Biden like this. Well, she's not going to interview Joe Biden, so it doesn't matter. And I think he's correct in that. In that sense, that nobody is going to get pushed in the way he was pushed on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the guy wearing the pants.
He's the president. But if let's just say it was 2012, they would not push Obama like that. And you know, for a variety of reasons. But it was. I found it very interesting, and actually, we'll just see if we can hear a clip of it.
The problem is, we were talking about Trudy and I were talking about. him walking out, which I think was a little overstated.
It wasn't really a walkout,
but,
though.
But Trudy's right. She said, anytime you end an interview early, it's going to be described as
storming out.
I thought that was exaggerated.
It absolutely was exaggerated.
But anybody who does that is characterized as having stormed out.
Well, when I think of stormed out, I think of somebody taking the mic off you know, departing and saying something crappy. I think he just felt that he had been in a pretty typical Trump reporter fight for 35 minutes, and he just had had enough. And they were actually talking to the people off camera.
Yeah, they told him five more minutes, but
yeah, and
he didn't want to do five.
I'm going
minutes.
To go now.
And to be honest, Trump was right. There was really nothing. Wasn't sure. A lot more to be said.
He wanted it to be a Jackson, and that was it. It was a Jackson.
Was it a Jackson?
45.
They claim that he talked for 45 minutes. The video he released is like 37.
So yeah, I only saw 37 minutes, and I don't know if they took a chunk out or something, but it seemed pretty complete. Anyway, it was very interesting, a lot more interesting than I thought. I just think, generally speaking, when they say, we're going to have this candidate and this candidate, and that's 60 minutes Sunday night, I expect to be bored because... You know, everybody's on their presidential behavior, or they're, you know, pushing their three talking points, and the person on the other end probably tries to prod them a few times just because they feel they have to, and there's probably a couple things worth prodding over, but this was anything but that. And
it's boring. I'm boring everybody. Quit boring everyone.
I am equally intrigued to see the Biden interview because I think
they ran segments of that on CBS.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, was it
boring? What were they like?
It was.
I'm so bored.
It was about the Supreme Court, packing the Supreme Court. So they took that excerpt.
Yawn.
That's probably about
as.
That's probably the best highlight. You know, I'm thinking of what you would ask Joe Biden,
right,
but we'll see. Anyway, we'll play a little bit of that later on. First of all, I want to remind you that water is everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just flood, but don't ignore a flood. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Because if you got an emergency, they're probably someone you're going to need to talk to. Fire damage, storm damage, mold left behind from water. Mold is a big one, too. And then, of course, COVID-19. If you've got service vehicles or a workplace or just someplace where skanky COVID people have been, you want to call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And looks like another big weekend in Royal Oak. People have been spending those Royal Oak bucks like crazy. In fact, last weekend was it $15,000?
Yeah, it was the most that we've seen.
Yeah, that's just dropping 750 people into town to spend money, to spend their money and your money. So everybody's happy, and we're getting down to the home stretch to see how many dollars out of the $400,000 will be spent. And right now it's got to be about, what, $260?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And actually, Matt and I were talking about that during the workout today.
Oh, wow.
A funny conversation.
Pretty
a really funny conversation about Michigan that I'll share with you. With his consent.
You're looking good. You've been working out?
We were just talking about the stimulus and how, boy, you put those $600 in everybody's weekly check, and look what happens, man. They spend it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the DDA did basically the same thing, and everybody couldn't be more delighted. Now, I don't know what else they would have spent it on, but when would you have a more emergency-like situation for businesses than right now? So... and on that note, I'm sure we'll get the stimulus done any second.
Yeah, no rush with that. Don't worry about it.
No worry. Only 2.5 months without any stimulus.
Right.
So no biggie. Yeah. Anyway, it's getting close to your last chance to spend your $20 if you still have it or you've got an expiration date, which they probably sent you. Be sure to go to downtown Royal Oak. Maybe enjoy some college football on Saturday. Or maybe you want to watch the Michigan-Minnesota game Saturday night. Many options, many places to eat, many places to go. Thanks to the Downtown Development Association. And be ready for more data as we've got some holidays coming up. And they've got some more surprises up their sleeve.
Ooh.
Wow.
So Michigan at Minnesota.
Yeah, great.
Big Ten football. Well, why are you so dour about
this? They're going to lose, man. I don't want to watch them lose.
No, why are you saying they're going to lose? You know it's going to be a good game.
They don't have much.
They're losers.
because Minnesota is really good, first of all.
Are they that good? I thought they lost a bunch of their defense.
They're still pretty good. They're 11-2.
I mean, I expect them to be pretty good, but Michigan has the, the talent composite. I read that their talent composite is number 18 in the country.
What is a talent composite?
I have no idea.
What does that even mean?
What are they ranked? They're ranked 18th. They're having a good year so far.
That doesn't mean anything either.
They're having a good year. They're in the top 20.
Wait, have they had a year?
No, they haven't played yet.
So
great question, Trudy.
But they have moved
I'm
up.
I'm the one that brought back football. By the way, I brought back Big Ten football.
Yay.
It was me, and I'm very happy to do it. And all right, people of Ohio are very proud of me.
I love how he was me, and I thought he was going to say somebody else, but then it was like, no, just me.
Oh, boy. So,
I'm not sandbagging either. I just think they're going to lose. I don't think they're going to get blown out. I just think they're going to lose.
Now, at least admit this. They must be having some great practices.
Whiner.
Because they have moved up in the rankings without even playing a game. So they got to be practicing well, right?
Good sure. practices. Yeah. That moves you up in the ranks.
Or it's the name.
Do you care to predict Joe Milton's performance?
Oh, boy. No, I don't. Because I have no one. Who knows? I have no idea what he's going to do.
I don't know why. I feel like he's either going to have a surprisingly good performance, and people are going to go, oh, my God!
Yeah, that
or
sounds...
he'll be kind of hinky and, you know.
That sounds like it. I just think Rashad Bateman's going to have, like, 300 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns. And
oh, that's the guy, first-round draft pick for Minnesota.
Best wide receiver in the Big Ten.
He went for the draft when they canceled the season, and somehow, how did they get him to come back?
They asked him. He said, oh, okay.
Aren't you surprised?
This is riveting.
Am I surprised? I am surprised because I don't know why
nobody cares.
If they have the opportunity to go pro, they wouldn't. Why wouldn't you go pro?
In case you wondered, I think Brandon's hit every drop since the show started today.
except for.
I agree.
Because that's the only one I have open right now.
Oh, you did hit that one.
That's the only one I have open right now.
Okay.
Why? Well, what do you think they're going to do? Put your ass on the line.
Michigan?
Yeah.
I bet they'll win. Won't they win 5 or 6 games?
No, I'm talking about Saturday. One game at a time.
Saturday?
The most important game's the next one.
I expect, honestly, this is what I hope for, and this is what I kind of expect. I think it'll probably be a good game. I mean, a close game,
game
to watch.
Yeah, because you don't care who wins. But
what about
the
Sparties?
True. But, I mean, if it's 27-20 or 20-17 or 33-30, I mean, that's a good game. To me. I mean, no matter who wins.
Yeah. It's boring. I mean, you're boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
I'd like to see Michigan win, but I'm just saying. I think they'll play competitively, and that's not bad. Minnesota is a good program.
Oh, that's okay. The bar's at the point where they just have to compete.
It's a between year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is for everybody.
Is the MAC playing? Is Bowling Green
action?
Do I have something that I need to pay attention to?
Yeah, there's going to be some action coming up soon. I think they play in the month of November, and that's it.
Like 2 games or something.
Yeah.
What? Why? They're playing 5 games, aren't there? 6 games?
I want to say.
Oh, that's cute.
It is really cute.
That is so. That is so half-assed. I can't even believe they're bothering.
It's adorable.
Let's see what they're.
They'll play hockey, won't they? That's where we really rule.
That's a good question. I don't know. Have they ruled on that?
Yeah, it's on ice, man.
Do they have a good bowling team?
At Bowling Green, yeah.
They should,
for sure.
No, yeah. I just thought maybe they would kind of use that moniker and.
Yeah.
This is a tad off topic. But is basketball starting the way it normally does?
It's starting a little later, and a lot of those preseason tournaments are off the table.
Why?
Because of the travel aspect, I guess, and staying in a hotel for a weekend.
Really?
I suppose, yeah. Trudy, Bowling Green opens at Toledo November 4th.
All right, I'm there.
On ESPNU.
For the first time in my life.
Trudy, that's as close as I'll get to you, Toledo. Look, so why not?
Worst case scenario, no more than 6 losses. It's a 6-game schedule.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Hey, Brandon. Brandon's prep today featured a story about Dr. Anderson, I'm sorry to say. Who wrote that story, awful. Brandon?
Oh, what was her name?
Oh, my God. It is possibly the longest story ever
written. It is really long.
In a newspaper.
Really?
It's so long.
It's the first time I've seen a certain guy's name on there, too, by the way. Did you know John Vaughn?
Kim Kozlowski from the Detroit News.
Okay. So they've taken the sports people off the Dr. Anderson beat?
Oh, they have been, yeah.
That's interesting. And probably better for the sports people in their continued success.
Well, better for the reporters, too.
Mr. Anderson?
That's what I meant.
Real news story. It's not about a game.
Oh, I think the guys that do sports could well cover this story, but and it does involve sports. I mean, in a weird
way. I'd rather have an investigative reporter cover Dr. Anderson.
Yeah. I don't know how much there is to investigate.
Mr. Anderson.
More reporting than anything, but
she dug up a lot of things. I don't know if lawyers gave it to her, if she did it herself, but laid it out pretty well.
Yeah, they're up to 800 people now, 800 victims.
Jesus Christ, how do these people have the energy for that?
Which people? The lawyers?
The hideous.
Anderson.
Abusers.
Well, he had 20 years. I mean, or 30 years. 30-some years. At least six people notified UM officials that they know of. Some notified more than one person, including, of course, Bo Schembechler, Don Canham, plus other coaches from other sports. All the people who are around seem to really bristle at the idea that they knew anything. I'll see about that.
Why are they still there?
I don't know if the coaches are still there.
Well, there's one. I can't remember his name, though, but there's one guy who's still involved with the athletic department who was there back then. It's like, did you just broom this guy?
Yeah, I would have expected some ugliness already, but it's been, for some reason, this has had a nice, steady, slow flow. I mean, information kind of drops here and there. And,
Michigan!
It really hasn't been, compared to Nasser or
something. I guess COVID helps.
COVID probably does help. Mike Cox, who ironically went to Michigan, ran for governor, was attorney general, and certainly a friend of the show, as is Laura. Mike Cox is representing a bunch of these guys, as there are 235 lawsuits, 800 victims, 235 lawsuits, and I guess the impression was that more suits are coming. And Mike Cox says there are two cover-ups, one for Dr. Anderson and the other one starting in 2018 when this guy contacted Michigan, and they did nothing for 18 months until he went to, was it Tony Paul?
I think it was Tony. I don't know who it was in the news.
Detroit News, and they blew out the story, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we got to do something. And since then, it's gone from one person to 800 people, including John Vaughn, who was a running back, right?
Yeah.
He was a good running back, I think.
Played in the NFL.
And he says coaches, administrators, and trainers all protected Dr. Anderson. And I got to wonder, this guy's going to hear from some people, because he feels that Bo Schembechler should be accountable as well as anyone else. You know, I didn't realize Dr. Anderson preyed on women.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up with this guy?
Power moves, I guess.
Yeah.
He just sounds like he's just super duper kinky. Like maybe not a Jeffrey Toobin way, but I mean, he's really sick. He's really.
I agree.
He's something is terribly off here. Yeah. His weird thing is, I always feel bad when they interview the kids, and when they say the kids, I always think, you know, they're 11 and 13, but they're actually much older. His son, I mean, there's nothing they can really say if they love their father and they just can't believe this that's going to come out sounding good.
Sure.
But I think for him to say that his father was completely heterosexual is probably a dumb thing to say. Does anyone really know?
Do you want to go, oh, yeah, my dad might have, you know, done some homo stuff. You're not going to say that about your dad. Your dad.
Well, but to say he's
completely.
You never
know that about your dad, although he's pretty.
You can't know.
Free with his tongue.
Well, no, he does know because he talked to him and he recorded it.
Ask Cornel this. No.
Are you gay, man?
No.
Are you bisexual?
No. I'm not on the down low.
Here's Prince again. That's what he wants.
No, I'm not. No.
Not bisexual.
No. I'm a 100% man. I don't do no homophobic. I don't do no none of that. There's nothing about no dude that I see. All due respect.
You know, that's cool. I love when people say with all due respect because it usually is never with all due respect. But how cool that the kid played the Prince drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to do it it's a little weird asking dad.
It breaks it up.
It doesn't make it awkward.
Lightens the room.
But I think to say he was completely heterosexual says this never happened. Because why would he be doing the stuff he was doing?
Like what Mark says, a power move more than a kink kind of thing.
Well, it's probably both. But a power move expressed is a kink.
I have a really hard time believing that he is not bisexual. or homosexual because he's, you know, asking people to drop their pants and then he masturbates. I mean, why would you masturbate to a guy dropping his pants if you weren't at all?
Ask Tubin.
Wow.
Tubes.
Anyway, he had...
Damn! Jeffrey Tubin?
He did beat off frequently when treating gay men, and there is definitely an ugly element as far as... I think he just assumed gay people could not speak of this.
Sure. Well, who would they believe back in the late 70s? A gay guy or...
Yeah, it was
the renowned Dr. Anderson.
1981-82. I did notice today's article had a tone to the effect, and I don't know why exactly, but that most of his victims were African-American.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because he was the football coach's trainer. So
yeah, but what about the ones before he became, you know, before he got moved to the athletic department?
Yeah, I don't, just at they UHS. Didn't really say, but it sounds like a lot of those people were gay. Yeah. You know, there's a couple really strange things in here. One was that John Gabler, who I don't remember that name at all. I think he was number 18, so I'm assuming he's a backup quarterback, maybe. Mm. He was asked to be in a study on fertility by Dr. Anderson.
Oh, boy.
And he said that over the next 3 years, Dr. Anderson penetrated him 30 times.
Oh, Jesus.
And I don't know what... Not sure what penetrated
with what
in this case, but yeah. then he says that
he was a wide receiver, by the way.
Oh, he was okay.
41 rushing attempts, 34 receptions.
Really, in his touchdowns. Career?
Yeah.
Huh.
67, what? 68, 69.
How many yards in his 40 rushing attempts?
This is the part of the article where it's end of his career, John.
I'm just wondering. They didn't.
Words can't
article.
Describe him. He's poetry in motion.
He averaged 2.9 yards a carry.
Why did he get 40 carries then?
10.3. Well,
I mean, I really don't want to criticize his running yard per carry at a time like this. Pretty unprofessional. But anyway, he then was drafted, and Dr. Anderson got him a draft deferral. He said, "You know what? You're not going over there."
Vietnam draft, not NFL. He said
yes.
Draft.
I'm sorry.
Immediately thought NFL. I don't know why.
He had to report to some office, I think in Indianapolis, and when he got there, he was already out. They said, "You're not going
medical."
You've been given a four. I think it was 4F classification or something.
Wow. Yeah, this is what he told him.
You have no reflexes. Your blood tastes like root beer, and some of your bones appear to have vanished.
So, Dr. Anderson did that for him, and I think that makes up for the rest. And, you know, they got into everything. I couldn't finish the article. It was so long. Brandon, was it necessary to be that long? I got lost in that article.
It was very, very long. It was very long and very thorough. I didn't even get through the whole thing of it. I just basically this morning because...
Slackers.
No Filter Sports also did a show this morning, and I basically asked them to sum it up, in which I think they really summed it up with the quotes from new people and the quotes from the family. That's really the stuff that you really learn here. And according to them, they said that Don Canham really looked like the bad guy.
Yeah, he doesn't look too good here.
How about did you read the part about Lefty? Did you see that one? Or no? Did you
get
that far?
I did. I did get that far, and I didn't really bother to try and make sense of what was the point of that?
Well, just let's see. So in 79, Michigan cross country team met at the beginning of the school year for sports physicals. All were examined one by one, recalling Eric Hagemeister, member of the squad. Afterwards, team members talked about how the exam took longer as usual when the doctor checked for testicular cancer. Oh,
which, by the way, almost never happens to a man under 25.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't check for it, but I would not expect that to be routine.
It's not part of a physical, right?
Yeah.
But he said...
Today's final exam will consist of two parts, oral and anal.
So he just said, "That's Lefty for you," and believed the nickname to mean that the doctor was Lefty. He used the term Lefty. We all felt there was more than someone checking for testicular cancer. Then the wrestler said his go-to line is, "I'm an expert in cancer." So he made you feel like he was checking you so you didn't have cancer so he could play around down there.
They said that there were long
pure manipulation.
The cough tests were excessively long.
Oh my God. There were
a lot of fingers in the butt. And
what are you, a fucking expert?
There's one other thing that was Let's see. Oh, I know. That he was fired, which we've heard before.
Yeah.
He was fired in, was it 1970 or was it 19? Anyway, one of the times he was fired.
I thought it was late 70s for some reason.
That's the time they're referring to. One of the times he was fired, they decided not to fire him because they didn't want to hurt his family.
Yeah.
So this guy who happens to be gay, who is part of this, said that he had a meeting with someone who is that guy still there, by the way? I think he's the one that is still there. Michigan guy who said that they agreed that he would never treat students again. That we don't want to hurt his family. We'll let him keep his job, but he is not to treat students. And this guy was in total shock to find out that he was still employed all those years. And it turns out that Don Canham, before any of this happened, months earlier, had offered him the job of athletic team physician, and that it was, quote unquote, in the works. And it was inferred
that Don
held so much power that no one could stop this. In other words, the athletic department and their feelings were more important than
Didn't he also create the position?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He was the first one.
So why is Canham so tight with him?
Huh? I don't know. That's really strange. It's really weird. And again,
hey, Don, did you take a dump in your bed last night?
Most certainly he did.
You know, going back to not only the 80s and the 70s and the 90s and the early 2000s when Dr. Anderson was doing this, and 800 people now say they were victimized in some way, but also going back to 2018 when the first complaint was made and it just kind of got shelved or put to the side or stalled. I feel like this phrase that I've heard Eli use many times is so accurate that people, for some whatever reason, they always seek to protect the institution. It's like it's just ingrained in their brain that the University of Michigan is more important than what happened to you.
You're in the cult, bro!
It's got to survive.
We don't want to embarrass the school. And, you know, I think some people are trying to get past this now. But it's every one of these things you look at. You see people who do unthinkable things. Like, why would they not want to completely take this guy out? But they just realize that, I don't want this to happen to the school. It'd be too embarrassing. So, therefore, I'm just going to ignore it. Or
why do people do fear what's, you know, like in situations where you're accusing someone of sexual assault, what's going to happen to you? What are the ramifications for you? I could see in an
for the victims?
Institutional way that they're thinking what's going to happen to the U of M because of it. When did he die?
2000.
Anderson?
3 or 8?
I thought it was 08.
Yeah.
So with, like, hopefully a fist in his body.
Well, that would be nice.
Maybe that's how we wanted to go.
I know. If only Tubin could have taken him out with a fist. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Damn, what a dick.
So, today, for no reason in particular, I was looking at the entertainment news of the day, and I was so excited. I really want to get into the Quibi story, because there's nothing more fun than somebody who has a $2 billion idea that turns out to be a huge flop. Just a total flop.
Oh, and to that point, there's a new book coming out about WeWork that looks fantastic.
Is WeWork, is that officially, like, blown out?
Yeah, that's a good
question. There's still offices, aren't there?
Yeah, I think they still exist in some shape or fashion, but the main guy, Adam Neumann, is blown out.
Although he made billions. I mean, did he get $1 billion to go buy?
Yeah.
Yeah, as a buyout, but he had to resell the trademark back to the company, which was one of the most devious
moves.
That was disgusting.
I would think he would be sued, and actually he would face repercussions in some way, but he probably won't.
Didn't SoftBank their main finance?
Yeah.
Yeah,
SoftBank's cooked too, though.
That's a Japanese bank, isn't it?
So SoftBank is they're really the ones that get, I guess, the credit or the blame for funding a lot of these, what do they call them, unicorn type tech companies.
Yeah, and they had a couple of dramatic success stories, and so the idea is, you know, we're going to roll the dice. I mean, this guy, what's his name, Adam?
Adam Neumann, yeah.
He was so enthralling and such a great salesperson that in spite of having revenues that were miles below their debt, this bank loaned him, how much money was it?
Oh, it was well over, I mean, it was in the billions, I believe.
And they kept loaning the money, too. They kept bailing him out.
It was an insane amount of money, and this is a typical business that just has a little success and expands way too fast.
The idea is ridiculous.
I don't understand how this guy was paid the kind of money he was paid before they gave him the $1 billion, because you look at it, it's like they're not making any money and they've got so much debt over such a long time. How would they ever make
money? Because they make big bets. Like over, I remember reading a story. There was a person that made a dog walking app, like kind of like Uber for your dog. And so when they were looking for seed money, a lot of people,
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
Some of the venture capitals were like, oh, here's, you know, maybe I'll give you $3 million, $4 million. I think SoftBank came in and said, $50
million. Whoa.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
And of course, that's a failure. So they just, they lost a lot of money on stuff like that.
Do you remember the show?
No.
Go, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say SoftBank, I think, is pretty cooked. Or at least that main guy's been blown out.
They got a big problem. There was a show on, I can't remember if it was on cable or if it was on Fox, but it was about a brother and a sister who were trying to get seed money.
Mm.
Remember that show? They would make pitches to these equity groups who, you know, invest in ideas in Silicon Valley. God, and
no, this sounds awesome, though.
It was really good. I loved the show.
It was on Fox?
I don't know what's, I don't honestly don't know what was on. It was only on
Shark Tank?
No, it was not Shark Tank.
Careful when you Google seed money show brother sister.
Yeah, boy.
Well, maybe with your history.
Several ex-hamster sites pop up.
But I'm so glad you have this kind of experience where you can warn us ahead of time without having to do it.
No problem.
It's called Silicon Valley?
Yeah. No, it was about Silicon Valley, but it wasn't, I don't think it was called Silicon Valley. Anyway, they would make these pitches and say, yeah, I've got this this health app, and it tells you, you know, how many calories you, you've eaten today and how many you've burned off. It wasn't a Fitbit.
Wow, but it sounds really compelling.
Let's just say it was something like that.
Right.
And then they would tell them, you know, what was wrong with the pitch, what was right with the pitch, and, you know, hone it, or, you know, or just get the fuck out of here, or whatever. And what I was most left with after watching this was that he would set up, and they were both smart, and they both had a lot of experience in tech and in, you know, Silicon Valley and this whole business of these startups. But they would set up meetings, and then they would sit down and try to brainstorm something to pitch.
Oh my God.
So they didn't even, in some cases, know what they were going to pitch before they went in and asked for $10 million.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Because the big score is when you get the seed money, and then we'll figure out how to make money. We'll figure out if this is a good idea or not. Well, they really didn't.
And then the next thing
that's
you get
not fraud?
Then you get Theranos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you could get something like Theranos. Anyway, that is not as easy as it used to be. That was at a time, this is maybe 7 or 8 years ago, when they were just looking for the new thing to throw money at.
Right.
And so many of them would work. But then, you know, as more and more people get in the business of asking for seed money, it becomes kind of a joke.
Well, Theranos.
Business ethics.
Theranos and WeWork pretty much ended that.
Thankfully. And Quibi. Who's, there have to be individual investors in Quibi, right?
It doesn't
Your sound, company stinks.
Doesn't sound like
I know. I can never.
Yeah.
Because they said that they were looking for investors, that, you know, we're just going to just about to round the corner after they'd blown through almost $2 billion. And of course, nobody wants to invest in it. People knew it was a dog. I mean, it's a total dog. And they kind of admitted in their apology yesterday. But do you know, 60 days ago, they were trying to hustle people out of money.
Really?
Yes. And they also were trying to sell Quibi. They were trying to sell it. Hey, you know what? We've spent all the money up front. We've lost all the money. You can now take it over and probably lose a lot less and then make a bunch of money off this brilliant idea of entertainment that takes less than 10 minutes that people watch on their phone while they're on the subway, while they're, you know, in between things. The problem right now is with COVID-19, people aren't busy and they're not places that, you know, take time. They're all at home. So there isn't the great need for things under 10 minutes. But hey, when everybody gets back to normal, this thing's going to kill. I mean, what a ridiculous excuse. The idea that we have too much time for Quibi because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it didn't work.
Oh, right.
That yeah, we have too much time. We can watch things that are an hour long. So we don't need to watch things that are less than 10 minutes.
Was it maybe that the shows weren't that compelling?
All
yes.
of it.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Very bloated you know, talentless.
It sounded dumb.
It is dumb. It's a terrible idea. Stupid, terrible idea.
I really.
Because the pause button exists.
I couldn't help diving in. Whenever you see a monster failure like this, I just want to know all the details.
Who fucked it up?
Who blew whose money? And, you know, and also who benefited and got millions of dollars for not doing shit and for basically not being the draw that they thought they were. And there are a lot of those people. Mm. And it's very interesting because. What you find, and some people said this, was that Quibi was looking at big names of A-list talent and big influencers, people that had large platforms or a large sort of a history as an A-list person, like a Liam Hemsworth, for example, he would be.
Yeah.
And then the influencer would be like the Chrissy Teigen. And what they didn't spend money on, though, they did not spend big bucks on the best writers producers and the people who put the words in the mouths of these people who are the A-listers. And so what happened was it was really on the people who the money was spent on either to come up with something and or, you know, to fill in the space, the less than 10 minutes. Oh, it's easy. Are you kidding? Chrissy Teigen, 10 minutes, The Rock, less than 10 minutes. It's going to be huge. I mean, everybody loves them, but...
There were a couple writers that they did go after, but the writers used it as leverage to get better deals from, say, Netflix or Apple TV, because Apple TV, you know, it was fairly recently launched. Wow.
So anyway, I read a story that was about 4 months old or 3 months old. When did they launch this? Do you remember?
Was that the
That article?
Was that August or
fairly recent?
Months ago, maybe. It was right before COVID, so.
Oh, that would have been March or Feb or somewhere there. And it's been around a little while. And of course, after the first month went by, when you had to pay for the app, and 90% of the people said, see ya. And there weren't that many people on the app anyway. It looked really bad. But they did have...
Hey, they won 2 Emmys, right?
Yeah. Who won Emmys, by the way?
I don't even know.
Okay. Well, anyway, they
I'll
were talking...
my favorite Quibi moment of all time, too.
The story they were talking about shows things on Quibi that had some potential and that, you know, maybe people really like these. And the one that had, I guess, the most response was Offset's show, which was a car show. And he sort of went around to other rappers and they talked about cars and, you know, he had 30 cars himself to show off. And this was considered one of the really potentially great shows on Quibi. It did a 43 on Rotten Tomatoes. A 43. And that was one of the shows they thought really had potential. I know. Chrissy Teigen, who was paid a lot of money. It was millions, wasn't it? A couple million? Chrissy's Court, yes. Chrissy Teigen has 130 million followers. So they thought, that's... money in the bank. Of course they're going to watch her because 130 million follower. If only 10 million follower, it'll be a huge success. The show had a total of 21 reviews. 21 reviews. 21. We get 21 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
This is somewhere with 130.
No!
Was that a stereo?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard two.
No, me. That was me with the drop.
130 million followers, 21 reviews. Just to give an example, okay, you know the Call Her Daddy show where the two girls splintered, they fought, mm-hmm. they hate each other now, and the one came back as Alex, I guess that one's still called Call Her Daddy, the other one's Sophia F. Sophia F's done 2 shows, I believe. She's got 17,000 reviews.
Wow.
2 shows. Chrissy Teigen, with her 130 million followers and multiple shows on Quibi, 21.
Maybe that's how many real people that are actually following her.
21 people.
More bots.
Who felt compelled to expand on it by reviewing. And, you know, the kind of people that watch Quibi or that listen to podcasts, they're the type of people that do review things. They know that reviews matter. And yet that's all she got. And not only that, because of her Quibi deal, she then, just like these writers, used Quibi as, you know, hey.
Leverage,
look, yeah. She managed to leverage because, oh my God, look at all the money put in Chrissy Teigen. What a great, wonderful young talent she is, getting ready to spread her wings with Quibi. She got a 2-year developmental deal with Hulu to develop scripted dramas and talk shows. multi-million-dollar deal with Hulu because of her Quibi work and her Quibi
ludicrous
deal.
Those are Hulu shows I'll never watch.
You know, why would Chrissy Teigen develop a scripted show?
I don't know. Think of all that backup on her docket, too. That'll never get heard.
What a shame. Court, you know? God almighty.
Brandon, click on there. Here's my favorite Quibi moment of all time. When they actually purchased a Super Bowl ad.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
Where's the car? Greg, where are you?
I'll be there in a Quibi.
A what?
A Quibi.
That's not
less
a thing.
Less than 10 minutes.
That's getaway driver. So they're the
Thanks,
bank robbers.
Thanks, Daddy, got fun. Thanks, Daddy, got fun. Thanks.
Quick bites, big stories. Quibi.
And the bank robber.
How could that not work?
I know.
You know, I wonder if part of the hatred of Quibi is the name Quibi, too.
Do you know what it stands for?
No.
Quick bites.
I know.
Oh, oh.
Stupid. And you know, they thought they were so brilliant.
Katzenberg
too. I read about the whole, the naming and.
Get it?
Look at what we've done. Look at the brilliance taking place here with Quibi. Quick bites, of course.
Get it?
And people were raving about their Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, oh, my God, how brilliant. It was funny. It was one of the most loved commercials of all. Oh, these Quibi people are so brilliant. Thank God we threw $2 billion at them.
No one knows what it means, though.
So, if you notice, the bank robber,
yeah,
the four of them are waiting. You know, hey, where are you, man? You're the getaway driver. And he's like, I'll be there in a Quibi. What's a Quibi? Less than 10 minutes. And so they're so bored, the guy turns on his phone to look at to Quibi. He doesn't know what it is 2 seconds ago, but now he knows what it is, and he's watching Chance the Rapper's show.
Yeah, he sucked. Oh. He got sucked in. It was so great.
Chance the Rapper. They threw a few million dollars at Chance the Rapper to do a punked show.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Why would Chance the Rapper do a punked show? Does that really make sense?
Because they threw a bunch of money at him.
Oh, yeah. No, I know why he'd do it, but why would a Chance the Rapper punked show work?
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Am I being punked? Where's Ashton?
Okay, a little bit more on this in a second, but first, as we step into fall, the team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is the place for you. There's the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. There's the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk, four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4, as low as $188 a month. And then pure performance, pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. How about the Dodge Durango GT? Speaking of him, that just sounds like a rockin' car, doesn't it? Dodge Durango GT.
Have some fun in that.
At just $343 a month. And you know the game, no Zot spot. We'll be without Jeep Wrangler, and if you want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you have time to ask for specs on your Wrangler. So get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And then there's Dr. Yaldo Beck doing his eye surgeries and giving people life-changing eye surgery and doing it for $1,500 off. How about $1,500 off? Yeah. And they've also opened a Yaldo Eye Center in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So if Brandon or any of his neighbors want to get convenient Dr. Yaldo eye surgery, they can do it in Rochester. If you're over 45, multifocal lens replacement will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And Drew and Mike listeners are getting $1,500 off the price. If you bring a friend, you'll get an additional half off your surgery. So, of course, it pays for itself anyway in all the contact lenses and glasses that you don't buy. Go to 800-398-EYES. Call 800-398-EYES or go to the Yaldo Eye Center and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. Now, the Hall Financial Hotline and Zoom line, is there anyone lined up or anyone who potentially could be?
I really want to call Donato the Fisherman.
Yeah, he was cool last time.
He's always pretty cool.
Brandon looked it up. Do you know why we called him last time, which was 6 months ago, I think we called him?
I think it might have been a stretch.
I thought, it must have been the anniversary, right? 20-year anniversary of Elian Gonzalez.
I think we already called him for that, didn't we?
Yeah. Wasn't that 99, maybe? No, Elian announced that he is going to be a father.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, so we gave him the word. I mean, that was an emotional call for all of us.
They broke Elian's bed.
I thought it was was hilarious too, how he admitted she had that squeaky voice.
Oh yeah.
He admitted that she was a
very
bit dramatic,
tuned in.
Too. Yeah, Donato, he's pretty cool actually. I like that guy. I like that man. So, Donato, anybody else on the docket for potential call on the Hall Financial Hotline?
Well, these people didn't answer yesterday. The Pennsylvania family that was attacked by a bear for the second time.
Wait, for the second time?
Yeah, they've been attacked
by a bear twice. Were they teasing bears in their spare time?
That's their hobby. Then there's, this lady, it might be too late to call her, but she went skydiving for the first time at age 102.
Whoa.
Where is she located?
Maryland, but she lives in a home, so I don't know if they'll be answering this late.
What? You mean so somebody dragged her out of the home and wheeled her onto a plane and just dropped her out?
Old bag with old bag in it.
She's a World War II vet.
Wow.
That's still hard.
Does it always seem like
retirement home?
Does it always seem like it's former World War II vets that want to jump out of
old
age?
What is that? What's that about?
I don't know.
Well, George Bush probably
maybe
started.
Maybe that's all I'm basing it on.
Yeah, they're not really jumping, by the way. They're that, you know, like mommy backpack that people wear with their babies on the front on the, you know, on a full-grown man.
They're a passenger.
Yeah.
Well,
strapped onto a dude.
The Hall Financial Hotline will accommodate these people if indeed we need to call them. And low rates mean value if you're on the market for that new home. Remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And if you're refinancing, call Hall Financial and find out why people are saving so much money. And by the way, if someone else can do it better, like Evan in Chicago, they helped him out, and he is talking to somebody who's going to save him a bunch of money because they don't have a license in Illinois. But it's worth the call, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com, NMLS number 1467-435. Remember, davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike. Or our website where you can click the link, fill out the form, and they are so fast getting back to you. Now, back to Quibi just briefly.
Sure. No argument for me.
Because I'm actually looking through all these huge celebrities that have their own show, and I knew that there was a bunch of them, but I didn't realize there was this many celebrities. And do they bear any responsibility at all? We know about...
Yes, they do.
We know about Chance the Rapper, but there's also J-Lo and Kristen Bell with Thanks a Million, along with Nick Jonas.
J-Lo also executive produced a couple shows, which is like, wait, really? J-Lo? What does she executive produce exactly that she has the experience to throw millions of dollars at her? I think that was because she asked for so much money that it said, well, how about you executive produce this and that? We'll throw your name on there.
Demi Lovato's Pillow Talk.
That's a terrible idea.
Andy Samberg's Biggest Little Cook-Off.
That's a terrible idea.
I bet you that show was probably one of the better ones because he knows how to develop a show.
Right.
Well, there's the Will Forte with Caitlin Olsen from Sunny in Philadelphia. It had like Andy Garcia in it. It had a bunch of people in it. But the premise of that show is so stupid.
House flipping and drug cartels?
They become house flippers, but they find a bunch of hidden money in the house. And then the head of the cartel realizes that they stole his money. And then to pay him back, they have to redecorate his house.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
Liam Hemsworth and Christopher Waltz in The Most Dangerous Game.
Oh, no. That's
a terrible idea.
Sophie Turner.
Did any of us, any of the four of us, see any of these shows?
No, once?
No. Okay.
I never even heard them being talked about, which was another problem they had because they wouldn't let people share on social media.
And wasn't part of it, too? How do you get Quibi? How do you access Quibi? Where is
Quibi? On your phone. You're right, because they didn't have a TV app.
But yeah, we never really were schooled on it in any way, shape, or form.
They didn't have, you know, an app for streaming on a TV like a lot of people do with Netflix now.
Can you explain what internet is?
Until yesterday.
Yesterday.
They launched the app yesterday.
Damn it.
This plan is so perfect, it's retarded.
Now yesterday?
Just yesterday, they launched the app for Apple TV Fire Stick.
There's also a Trevor Noah.
Oh, Trevor Noah, that's a winner.
Really? Because I can't see him on regular TV if I wanted to.
Can you find out how much money they threw at Trevor Noah? See if it's...
Sure.
I'm just curious.
Christina Ricci has her own show on there. Tyra Banks, her own show. Yeah. There's a lot of famous Cup of Joe. We forgot to mention Joe Jonas's Cup of Joe.
Oh, God.
That's
really?
What we laughed at, yeah.
Really?
Usher has one called The Sauce, which is a dancing competition.
Oh, boy.
Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, Megan Rapinoe, of course. Throw a couple million at her. What's her show, Brandon?
Her show is called Prodigy. Whether or not you're into sports, you'll find Prodigy, a show that profiles eight brilliant young athletes. Super inspiring.
Oh,
Megan Rapinoe, one of the pro soccer players who led the U.S. to victory in the FIFA Women's Cup in 2019, hosts the show.
Something tells me those athletes are going to be female, maybe a few soccer players, a couple golfers. I doubt it's a bunch of dudes.
Brandon, why don't you tell me that Trevor Noah's show was him playing other people in FIFA soccer?
Are you serious? Is that what it is?
I would have watched it. Yeah, it was called Player versus Player with Trevor Noah. Yeah.
And what did they throw at him?
I can't find the answer. But he was also developing shows over there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Ariana Grande had a show with Kelly Osbourne.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that was a lot of money. I read about that.
Andy Cohen's show, Zac Efron's own show, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's own show.
Kelly Osbourne. Why would they want Kelly Osbourne? Really?
I don't know.
Kevin Hart, Josh Harnett, and John Travolta. That's Die Hard. But Eric Andre, these are big names, especially in the younger community. Like the younger folks know who. I mean, LeBron James has his own show called I Promise.
LeBron James got a nice paycheck out of this. They threw a ton of money at some very big name people, and there were questions early on about, wow, $6 million to Reese Witherspoon, and she's just doing some voiceovers? Remember, she was doing a voiceover for I forgot what it was, but it wasn't anything that you would typically expect Reese Witherspoon to be in.
But remember, her husband was in charge of talent acquisition.
Yes.
And she has her own show about tigers or lions.
Oh, that's right.
Female lions called Queens.
Well, there were a lot of questions, but some people felt there was not just a conflict of interest there, but that it wasn't what people want to see Reese Witherspoon do, but it was what she wanted to do. LeBron James, Queen Latifah, don't leave her out, Idris Elba.
Jesus.
And then, you know, I actually heard this on a little audio piece on Quibi, that it's backed by superstars like Chrissy Teigen and Chrissy's Court, Chance the Rapper and Punk'd. And they were reading names, and I'm going, is that a superstar? He's not a superstar. She's not a superstar.
Brandon just named way bigger people.
Rachel Brosnahan, is she a superstar?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's won the Emmy for
Fleabag.
Miss Maisel.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I just don't, when I think superstar, I guess I think of certain people.
Well, you think Jennifer Aniston, right?
I probably should have thought of her.
Think of Julia Roberts or Jennifer Lawrence.
Tracy Morgan, Lawrence Fishburne, Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell was a tough get, by the way. That was a big deal. And that show, this is another one that before it launched was being questioned. Like, is this really something that's going to, you know, how are they determining what kind of show to do? Well, Kristen Bell, I guess, was really on board with this. The show is called Thanks a Million. They were going to offer people $100,000, and these were people who have been helped in some way. Mm. And then their job was to decide who to give half the money to.
Like, that's a terrible idea.
Who helped them? And the show, the bottom line of the show, and this was, like I said, she bought into it. It was going to show. It was going to be centered around gratitude and showing appreciation.
That's what people love to watch they do. On TV. Yeah, gratitude.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. They learned nothing from 2020.
That was one of the shows.
Misery loves company. We want to see people fail and be miserable and bad things.
That was what one of the shows executive produced by J-Lo, by the way. Nice job.
Will Smith had one called This Joker.
What?
Kiefer Sutherland and his dad had one, those separate shows.
What's Will Smith's show about, does it say?
So it's called This Joker, and it's a stand-up comedy show that takes place in Las Vegas and features other comedians on the rise.
But what's Will Smith have to do with that?
Well, Will Smith, I'm glad you asked, because Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith are the executive producers.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Great.
He might be the host of it or something.
Jeez.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of anything better.
So
I like Will. I'm not as
I turn the down.
Zooey Deschanel, Ben Stiller, Rob Gronkowski. The list goes on and on.
I think they have too many, which is part of the problem of doing 10-minute shows, because now you have to have a ton of them, right? They're stuck.
Essentially, they have everybody in Hollywood.
They're stuck in the world between like regular television streaming, normal shows, half hour to an hour or even longer. Like, look how people love to sit down and watch, you know, 9 episodes of The Vow. People will binge really long things because there's a pause button. So they're stuck in that world versus Instagram and really short stuff.
And YouTube,
they came,
yeah.
Yeah, and they came up with this ridiculous idea.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr's a good idea, I think. Crazy. Well, was Bill Burr, please tell me he's doing a show about comedy.
Bill Burr, he is doing a show called Immoral Compass. Mm-hmm. Comedian Bill Burr is writing, producing, directing, and starring in Immoral Compass, a series about all the insane things people do to get what they want, no matter what the consequences are. Each episode focuses on a specific desire, whether it's fame, love, or power, and the unethical choices the characters must make to achieve those desires.
You think he really takes too long? Like that? Serious?
Sounds like it was assigned to him. The description is too long. They spent, this is an incredible figure, and I'm not sure how they came up with this, but it was estimated that they spent $100,000 per minute of entertainment produced. $100,000.
Is this some sort of write-off?
You know, that's a great question, Trudy. Maybe this is a mob thing where they're laundering money.
Only, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
A new way of laundering money.
And I love the apology because Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman.
Well, do you want to hear them? Because they were on CNBC today.
Oh, they do an interview.
Yes. Launch, and we appreciate you.
Meg Katzenberg looks like he's aged about 50 years.
Meg, I want to start with you. Why did you decide to shut down Quibi now rather than at the first
time
of
problems
with adoption, or rather than wait and continue to
shut
try
up,
for longer?
Meg.
Let's hear this bullshit answer.
Well, first of all, we're glad to be back. We did launch Quibi with you, Julia, and we're glad to be back today.
No, you're not. How could you be glad to be back?
Over the summer, we had a very successful launch, and over the summer, really? We started to see a slowdown in our momentum. And we tried many different things, many different product and packaging models. We changed our marketing.
Through
we
everything.
Changed the app around many
your
different
idea
times.
Sucked, period.
But it was clear that for whatever reason, this was not going to be as successful as Jeffrey and I had hoped. And so we took stock of where we were and we said the best thing to do, the honorable
cut
thing to
losses.
Do is to return money to shareholders.
Oh, you didn't have any money.
We knew this was not going to have a
pause
path
for a second.
Forward as a viable standalone business. So we
pause. That is such bullshit. The honorable thing to do is return money to shareholders. Okay, so that means whatever Disney cash is left, which can't be much, because they blew money out their ass.
How honorable of the honor.
That is such bullshit. They were trying to raise money. They were trying to raise money. I mean, this is like 45 days ago. They said, we just need some more, some more investment to sort of push this thing along, and it's going to do fine. So
I wish you weren't a liar.
Oh, my God, what bullshit. Anyway, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
She doesn't tell the facts.
She doesn't.
It's like we made the right decision, a very difficult decision, but the right one for shareholders.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't hard.
You're up, Katzenberg. What bullshit
certainly
are you going to spew?
Certainly this must be very hard for both of you. You both put your own money in. You also have personal relationships with many of the people that you went to invest in.
Everyone hates
Jeffrey,
you in the business
course,
now.
That was a pretty dumb thing you did.
The media giants you. That you brought on as an investor in Quibi. How are you handling this, Jeffrey, in terms
of gonna be wonderful,
the bet that
he?
You got all these companies that you've known for so long to make on your startup?
Well, thanks, Julia. In the end, I think all you can we can do is own it. You know,
yep.
We are so...
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to.
Oh, how
the
honorable.
Opportunity to go pursue this
it wasn't your
really,
money.
Really big idea. For sure, you know, there
why
was
why don't you pay everyone back?
In it, but I think all of us expected a much better outcome, a much bigger outcome from this. And, you know, to our investors, to our studio partners.
He's talking, CNBC puts this big graphic on of first funding round, $1 billion, May 2018, all the companies listed. It's Viacom, Warner Brothers, MGM, NBC Universal, 21st Century Fox, Walt Disney, Alibaba Group, which is the Chinese Amazon, Sony Pictures, Liberty Capital, Breyer Capital, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Greenspring Associates, another Madrone Capital. It's just a lot of big shooters there, man.
Thankful for them for giving us opportunity and letting us do it. And in the end, I think what, you know, as Meg said, at this point, when we have seen that it does not have a future for it,
it's a bomb.
The best thing we can do is return as much money to.
So now CNBC has moved on.
How much money is that?
Moved on to second funding round, $750 million, March 2020. Alibaba Group, Hollywood Studio Holdings, Pegasus Tech Ventures.
To them as we can. And take care of how our much employees is that? In the best way possible.
Alibaba.
No, how much did you
now,
blow?
I want to get into this idea of returning money to investors later, but first I really want to understand what you think went wrong here. Meg, you said you had a very strong launch, but the reality is even
no,
though
didn't.
Many people downloaded the app,
that's a terrible idea.
Converting those people to being paying subscribers, that was much more challenging. I've seen some reports that less than 10% of people who did a free trial converted to paying. And I'm wondering if you can help me identify what you think really went wrong here, because we
help
have
you identify.
Really seen other short-form mobile content thrive
their subscription revenue,
during COVID,
3.3
whether it's
million.
Snap that reported a 50% increase in time spent watching shows, or TikTok growing rapidly. Jeffrey, do you think it was the subscription model that was really so problematic?
Listen, I think it's a convergence of a number of things, Julia. So
the content
yes, we
set.
Had a new product. We asked people to pay for it before they actually understood what it was. I think we thought there would be easier.
Sounds like you're straining to do some explaining.
By people to it. I think that the environment that we found ourselves in, as you've heard us say many times, this is designed for on the go, in between.
No, don't blame COVID.
At a time in which no one was on the go.
Then you should have stopped
your money back, butthole.
You should have held it up.
Product market fit was wrong. I mean, somewhere between the idea being less than perfect, which we own,
perfect.
And the environment we
found
ourselves in,
that's a terrible idea.
Is where the fail has come. How much is, you know, what each of those are in that equation? I'm not sure any of us are ever going to know, but it didn't work.
Whoa. What?
Oh, bullshit.
No, having said that, content that was made is something. You know, the way
we're new camp, and that's the way it is.
Really, really well received. I'm sorry.
What? Did you say the content was
Jeffrey,
well received?
I actually was going to reference something you now famously told the Times back in the spring, and that was, I attribute everything that's gone wrong to coronavirus. Everything.
Way to go.
Would you temper that statement now?
100%. It's not fair. I mean, it was a little bit of a clippy answer to...
It's total bullshit.
An answer.
He says a quibby answer.
Other companies have faced the challenges.
Did he say that?
You know,
did he say it was a quibby answer?
The subtitle. The subtitle said clippy answer. But okay. What is a clippy answer?
It was a quibby answer. I think he should use that word.
That would have been cute.
He should overuse the word quibby.
Everything.
I
get back to you in a quibby.
Would you temper that statement now?
100%. It's not fair. I mean, it was a little bit of a clippy answer to, you know, a flippant answer at the time in it. But, you know, other companies have faced the challenges of COVID, and they've managed to find a path.
Well, at least he's owning it, right? Because after all, that is all he can do.
You know, owning our miss. And simply blaming it on COVID, I don't think is fair and not something that either of us want to do.
Shepard Smith here.
Good for you. What a joke.
The best thing we can do is own it. I don't agree. I think you could pay the people back.
Well, he's not going to be. Is he going to get one? Well, they could.
Maybe
they
could raise $2 billion. Why can't he raise another $2 billion and pay him back? Or earn the money or pay him back as much as he can.
Isn't the Alibaba company the Chinese merchandiser that everything costs like $5?
I thought they were like
millions of things.
I thought they were the Amazon, basically, of China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he suggested that the content was well received. No one watched it.
I hear people talking about it all the time.
The Rotten Tomatoes, the best example they gave Rotten Tomatoes, because the most people responded, was Offset Show, which is 43%. That's not that good. Sorry, Jeff. Oh, my God. What a bomb.
That's so wonderful, isn't it?
I know. Just the idea of them trying to sell that, you know what, we're going to own this, and we're so classy that here we are owning this little boo-boo we made.
Well, I remember reading a story, too, where they really pit, in the investment round, some of the studios against each other. Like, hey, you don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out. We're going to be using a lot of good talent here.
Oh.
You don't know where this is going to go down the road. It's going to be huge.
You know, the one of the incredible things to me is that they... they only wanted $5 to $8 a month.
That's a problem, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it is a problem, but you know, we know people in podcasting that are getting that kind of money, and they're easily paying for themselves, and they're making a good living.
Here's the problem. That's on par with Peacock. That's on par with CBS All Access. That's on par. I think Hulu's a little more. I think Disney Plus is a little more. But it's very close to those that are going to give you full shows. Right. Of and access of stuff that you already know exists.
But they just threw
some of the stuff on there.
They just threw money at people and just said, "Oh, LeBron James, everybody's going to want to watch that." Yeah. And
I didn't even know that existed.
You've got to have a product that is, I mean, it's got to be something interesting to watch. You can't just have a name, but I guess that's, well, oh, it's unfortunate. Oh,
so
my.
December 1st.
How delighted are you?
I don't know why I'm so pleased, but I really am.
Because, well, there's the other story about what an asshole they were in the office.
Yeah.
Especially with they had to work out of separate buildings eventually because Whitman and Katzenberg didn't get along. But Katzenberg just thought his shit didn't stink because he's Mr. Talent and he can recognize talent. And Whitman was the money person.
I know. It's such a shock that two people that are so smart could fail so big.
I love it.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I am just so sorry. That is such a darn shame. Well, there was some more entertainment news as the Ghislaine Maxwell deposition came out, and there was so much to read. And
that's entertainment?
Yeah, I guess it was actually falling into the entertainment category because a lot of people were writing about it. But it was really a lot of bullshit because I did start reading it, and, you know, her attorneys, you know, once you get expensive attorneys, they object to every question. They object to the nature of the question. And there's so little of her talking. But eventually when she does, of course, she's just lying through her teeth, claiming that she never invited anyone under 18 to Jeffrey Epstein's home. We did do some entertaining where we had some of our friends and they brought their kids over.
Uh-huh.
That is bullshit. And honestly, how can she not be charged with perjury?
Oh,
it's total perjury.
She's got to be charged with it.
But they never charge. They always say, "Oh, perjury is so hard to prove."
Yeah.
No, it's not hard to prove because we know what happened, and there's a million witnesses to it.
No, I would think she would eventually get charged with it, right? Yeah,
I would hope so. And she said, you know, as far as Virginia Roberts, mm-hmm. who is Virginia Jeffrey, who was one of the ones who came out and said, you know, this terrible thing happened to me, and these people did it, and I recruited people, and I regret it. You know, it was like Nexium, but with a 16-year-old girl.
Yep.
Because, you know, $200 for a massage, and yeah, you might have to take your top off, or you might have to beat them off or something, but it's still good money. She claims that Virginia Roberts' mother brought her over, and that she discussed it all with her mother, and her mother said it was cool, and, you know, she was just... her mother also said she was I think she was training to be a masseuse. Now, that's total bullshit. That's just a total lie.
Yeah. I was telling you that because when I first saw it, it was like, what is it, 500 pages long?
Yeah, it goes on and on.
I don't have time for this. So I started reading Julie K. Brown, who is the Miami Herald writer.
Yeah.
Who really is just busted this wide open.
Yeah,
loves
Epstein is alive and still doing this if it's not for Julie K. Brown.
You got it. Yep. 100%. And she has been battling Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah.
I never pronounce his name.
Dersh.
So she's been going through it and tweeting a lot of good stuff, but I think it boils down, this is her main point after reading the whole thing. She says, "I have now found the names of four underage victims whose names were not redacted from today's court filing. Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, their names are all blacked out. Is the court protecting the victims, or is the court allowing Maxwell's lawyers to run the show?" That's a pretty powerful statement.
Look at that.
And, of course, the internet goes, "Oh, this is a reference to Bill Clinton because it's a question about the wedding. And this is a reference to Andrew." I mean, you can tell who it is. But they don't redact the victims' names? That's appalling, man.
The court has always been favorable to Jeff and...
I know, but to leave all the victims'
names... We know all we know and the deal that was unprecedented and outrageous and the victims weren't notified and they moved it to another city so they couldn't show up and complain about it. And now they're doing it again?
Yeah.
How many times can they fuck these people over? Bill Clinton, you know, he's redacted because... No, I mean, he's not redacted because they redacted him. They had no business redacting him because it's a reference to Bill and Hillary Clinton... Well, you know, who did this? Bill Clinton inviting her to Chelsea's wedding.
Yeah.
Which suggests that Bill Clinton sure thought a lot of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yep.
And what? Although he likes to say that, well, actually, he doesn't say anything. Mm. The Clinton Foundation says, he flew four times with Jeffrey. Mm. Well, we know from flight logs that he flew 26 times, and that there's a lot of untoward things being said about Bill Clinton. Not as far as underage.
I was really just having a little fun.
Nothing as far as underage girls. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate and stretch this thing, but just that he was enjoying the fruits of being a friend of Jeffrey Epstein.
Which, Bill enjoyed the fruits of being lots of people. Yeah. That guy's a mooch, man.
And in Bill Clinton's case, you know, he was also very tight and flew on many private jet adventures with his friend Ron Burkle. Ron Burkle had a 19-year-old girlfriend, and this is a known thing. And his girlfriend had young friends, and you know, he was around some pretty skanky, shady, weaselly stuff. And I would never say without knowing that he did anything illegal, but you know, he really is a scuzz here. And how dare they redact the fact that she was at his wedding? Who fucking cares? They're leaving names unredacted of underage victims. That's appalling.
Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Les Wexner was also
Really
redacted from this. But like
what a crock of shit.
Julie K. Brown just puts the segment of the deposition up there and writes Victoria's Secret owner Les Wexner blacked out here.
Oh. Good job, Julie K.
My only fear is that
try and get her on.
I've tried before. She just
She was really busy the first time we contacted her.
She is always very busy with
She's
this.
A great interview, though.
But you know what? What's happening here is, first of all, you have Alan Dershowitz trying to block anything. He's still in the middle of this thing. He's suing one victim, at least that I know of, the same girl, Virginia Jeffrey. He's suing her for defamation, and he's suing her for perjury. He's saying she perjured herself, and on and on and on. I mean, he has attacked her so many times. How can you attack a girl that was victimized in so many ways, including with Prince Andrew?
And speaking of which, here's another segment she put up. Did Blank ever tell you that he had sex with Virginia Roberts? He did not. Did Jeffrey Epstein ever tell you that Blank had sex with Virginia Roberts? Answer, he did not. Did Blank ever visit, and I think, the island? And she just writes, why are these men's names redacted? It's clear this is Prince Andrew.
Why are they protecting him?
God bless her.
Why are they protecting
him? He's a prince.
No, I don't know.
It's royalty.
Oh, man. But other than that, there's really nothing
different kinds
in this
of people.
Deposition, man.
No.
Nothing new, at least.
Well, there's been so much written already that I'm not surprised. Plus, we know she was lawyered up the ass. Literally up the ass. There were lawyers up her ass.
Oh, huh.
Because Epstein wanted that. I guess I'm not totally surprised, but I am surprised that they wouldn't bother to redact underage victims who don't want to be named. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
Well, on a similar subject, but not really, in the subject of second brains that are overactive, you know, I've known this for a long time, and there's plenty of stuff out there that will tell you this, that Rudy Giuliani's second brain just takes over.
Yeah.
It does. It's happened many times. You know, there was some school teacher in New England, I think, that he was nailing on the side. And remember those pictures came out of him with her? And I think there were...
Nice work there, Rudy.
Man, if women didn't have self-esteem problems, Rudy Giuliani would never get laid.
Well, it keeps it all in the family, right?
Or Kent Cousins, yeah, that's right.
He's been married, I think, three times. And I think he's with someone now that he's been with for a good while. That he was,
what's the one that he had the battle over recently with the divorce?
Judith.
Okay. Remember he had to watch TV on his iPad because she took all the remotes?
Yes.
To which a lot of people went, you could just get a remote on the iPad to watch the TV.
I believe that most of his breakups have been pretty contentious. And they've involved, in many cases, too, accusations of other women. And it just sounds like Rudy Giuliani is quite into, pretty into pussy. I mean, he just is.
Freaking Giuliani!
And he pulls women that, I remember the was it a school teacher? Or I think she was a school teacher. I remember going, that girl's too hot for Rudy Giuliani. She just is. She was much younger. Of course, they're always younger.
Power and money, though.
Yeah, I know. But If I'm Rudy Giuliani and I'm at the Mark Hotel in Manhattan for an interview about the Trump administration's response to the pandemic, and the girl's name, the reporter, is Maria Barkalova. She's 24 years old. She plays Borat's daughter in the movie. She is a 10. I mean, she is gorgeous. If I am Rudy Giuliani, or let's just say I'm me, I'm 60-year-old me, and I am giving an interview to 24-year-old Maria Barkalova in the Manhattan, or the Mark Hotel in Manhattan, and she starts being a little suggestive with me, I am going to think, okay, what does she want? What's going on? I mean, I would immediately be suspicious.
That's probably because you're a little more self-aware.
I suppose, but
wait,
Rudy Giuliani is, how old is Rudy, 70?
76, right?
Is he 76?
He's a handsome 76.
He's a handsome 76. And you know what? He's probably used to getting poontang like this all the time. So he's probably
really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. 24-year-old?
I think he's being facetious. I hope you're being facetious.
Somewhat, in some sense I am, but in some sense I'm not. Because this is a guy who has run New York City. And when he's not run New York City, he's been a big part of New York City. It's a huge time. I'm sure he's gotten tons
of... past tense, though.
I don't know of Rudy having any girlfriends this young. I mean, this is a lot. This is a girl 50 years younger than him.
How about
him.
The fact that she's...
And she's a 10.
How about the fact that she's supposed to be a reporter in interview? Does he bang other reporters? Why? Can he not put two to two together?
Well, it just sounds to me like, as I mentioned, his second brain can just take over at any moment. See, I mean, he's got a history of it, and it seems to be the case. But, I mean, I just think that...
He is retard!
I don't care how powerful he is. A 24-year-old girl that hot coming onto him, apparently he just thinks, hey, you know what? I get it. Of course she's coming onto me because I'm Rudy Giuliani. I'm special. I'm powerful. And she wants it, and here we go. And to say that he was never inappropriate. Now, is there a video now of this, or is it just the pictures?
I've just seen the pictures. I haven't seen the video. Well, I mean, shit, we'll know in 5 hours or so when it's released.
Well, it sure looks like he is lying down on a bed.
He's
with
tucking.
His hand in his pants. He's
repeatedly tucking.
Yeah, it
and
looks...
untucking, tucking and untucking.
It doesn't look good. And
nothing happened with him. Nothing weird. Nothing.
Colbert pointed out that he takes off a microphone every night, and he's been doing it for a long, long time, and he has never reclined on a bed to take off a microphone. And that's what I said yesterday was, why would you have to lie down on a bed to take off a microphone?
Yeah.
And then also, Colbert pointed out that why would you need to go to a bedroom from the main room to take off a microphone? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Any of this, but of course he thinks that this 24-year-old who is a 10 just cannot resist him, and so he's gonna, I guess he thought he was gonna go for it, but he says that he knew it was a setup and he called the police. How funny is it that he called the police?
Nice use of resources.
Yeah, but he's busted. So he probably
call
thought
911.
I can scare them, or I can, you know, I've got some clout in this town. He's in New York.
I really want to see the setup too, because doesn't Borat come in as a sound, like a sound engineer,
like a boom mic engineer?
So is he not paying attention to him, or does he
obviously
just
not
recognize him?
I want to see the interview too.
There is another.
There is an interview, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure it's real. Where you
see that?
Where he agrees to eat a bat.
Oh, okay.
There was another video released of two officers that pulled him over in Alabama, I think it was, somewhere in the South. And Borat's driving, and he has her strapped to the roof like the Beverly Hillbillies. And that's why they pulled her over. And they knew it was him. The video that you can watch the...
How can you miss Borat?
Well, that's kind of my point is, shouldn't Rudy Giuliani know who Sacha Baron Cohen is or Borat?
But did he enter the room as Borat? Because I know he used some different costumes.
Sure, he was a sound movie. Like a boom mic operator. I don't know.
But wasn't he in that stupid suit he always wears? The gray suit?
In some parts of that movie, but in other parts he put a fat suit on for...
You are big and fat!
Well, in the... When he comes in and says, she's too old for you, she's 15, and whatever he says... Isn't he wearing
a noise?
Well, then he's that's when Rudy got up and left, because he's wearing, you can see pictures of that, because someone snapped a picture of him leaving the hotel. him being Borat or Sacha Baron Cohen.
How'd he look?
Well, he had a ridiculous outfit on. Rudy described it when he called the police.
Oh, but how did Rudy look leaving the hotel?
Oh, I didn't see that picture of Rudy. Yeah.
Well, that will be on Amazon Prime Friday. Mm-hmm. So everyone can. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be a big movie, isn't it?
Yeah. I would think so.
I mean,
so,
if Rudy thinks this has not gone very well for him so far, I would imagine it's going to get a lot worse because a lot of people are going to watch that.
I want to watch that movie.
I'll
see that.
I'll watch Borat anytime. In fact, I was trying to watch him on Kimmel because I thought that was last night, but he was on Kimmel Monday night. So I went back and took a look at it, and I didn't see the whole thing. But
I can't project this picture, but here's Borat when he was leaving, when he was dressed as.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a full. So if he had that fake beard on, yeah, I guess maybe you wouldn't recognize him. There he is running out in a pink leotard. And...
Oh. Oh, boy.
I like the surgical mask.
Mankini kind of thing.
Mankini, yeah. Yes. Is that what it is? Mankini.
I guess, yeah.
Mankini.
No.
What's the full name? You know the full name of the movie? Or is it just...
Oh, can you read it? Because it's super, super long.
No. I mean, it's just going to be Borat 2, I guess, so.
That's like a prequel. But in the future.
the CMT Awards, this is in Brandon's Prep 2, had a big to-do because Noah Cyrus is wearing a naked bodysuit.
Oh, can't we have a limit on how many Cyruses we have to deal with?
That's exactly how I feel about it. Do we need an uglier, less hot version of Miley, who is also acting like the hottest, wildest, skankiest chick? Because I remember when Miley made the transition from... I'm a teen star too. I'm wild, and she's with Robin. What's his name? Robin Thicke. Yeah, with that stupid number one hand. And
yeah,
I mean, oh.
Wearing electrical tape over her boobies on what show? What did she go on? Some talk show?
Oh yeah.
Well, Miley is one thing, but her uglier, less talented sister trying to pull the same thing off. Really, I honestly, I just can't take it. I want her to go away.
That's some good parenting there, by the way.
Well, Miley's doing a new album, and it's going to be all Metallica covers.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
It depends how good the band. I mean, she can sing. It's going to be different, but is the band going to be as good?
I'm not sure I really need a Metallica covers album by Miley Cyrus.
Did you hear the one cover?
No, yeah. I did not.
Oh, okay.
What is it? What's song?
I want to say it was Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. She had that cover of Zombie the other day, which was really good. Oh, although, I thought...
Blondie song, too.
Oh, that was good, too. As far as the Metallica... Or not the Metallica cover, but the Zombie cover, she was, in my opinion, very close, if not over-rocking. Did you see it?
No. Really? She's over-rocking?
I'm afraid she's a little guilty of over-rocking on it. Yeah, especially at the beginning. But let's...
She performed this at Glastonbury last year.
Oh. Well, it's an interesting choice.
Idea. You think so?
That's a terrible idea.
I love that. Is that a new drop?
No, it's just worked too many times.
I just haven't heard in a while.
Once again, she doesn't sound too bad. The band just sounds meh.
You tell them!
it's just nothing. It's just not that special to me because if she did it, covers are a tricky business because. Who covered Better Than Ezra just covered the Peter Gabriel song. Wait, the one from the
Round?
Sledgehammer?
No, Sledgehammer.
Shot the Monkey.
That was Harry Styles who did that one.
Harry Styles did, yeah. And it's just him sounding a lot like the original version, but it's not quite as good because it's Harry Styles as opposed to Peter Gabriel.
Right.
The other one is it In Your Eyes? Yeah, In Your Eyes. Oh. Better Than Ezra. It sounds a lot like the Peter Gabriel version, but I feel like, well, do we need this? I mean, they did a good job on it, but is this something...
This baby is just recycling.
Well, you're right, Trudy, because these are fabulous songs that a lot of people who are 25 don't really know the song, maybe.
So they put them out of the mouths of the people they relate to, and then they can sell them all over again.
I guess if they hear a great song through an influencer, then it's a good song.
Then it counts.
No, thanks.
Better Than Ezra?
This sounds terrible.
Where have they been for 40 years?
I don't know.
But I mean, musically, it's pretty much like the original song, right?
Gabriel's voice is way better than this turd. Who is this turd? Well, it's going to be a hard note to hit, isn't it?
I really love Peter Gabriel. Yes, it is, Charles.
That is a great album. So is just one of the very, very best albums of that period. In fact,
agree.
Remember when Eddie Van Halen said, yeah, I don't really listen to music. This is a couple of years ago. And he said, I do remember that Peter Gabriel's So album. I really did like that.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, wow, it's like the only album Eddie Van Halen can even think to mention in all that time.
Wow. Cool.
And speaking of older music, I just read something this week about how dead rock and roll is. And you know, that's a topic that we hear from time to time because they're just, you know, as far as the musical zeitgeist, it's Cardi B, it's Nicki Minaj, it's Tory Lanez. It's a lot of people that really aren't rock and roll people. Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus might be the most rockin' thing going on right now because she gets a lot of attention, she gets a lot of streams, and she's singing rock songs. I mean, sometimes.
A rock and roll!
Who's the young band? I know the guys from
Greta Van.
Michigan.
Well, yeah, there's Greta
Fleet, but
they have a new album coming
out.
They're so over.
It's like you don't hear anything.
Well, yeah.
Why do they feel over to me, and why weren't they over before? That was like the biggest thing to happen in rock and roll in the last 5 years, and it was okay.
They came out, though, with an album and then a couple of other things, too. So they produced a lot of stuff or had a lot of stuff and threw it out there. And then they toured like crazy for the longest time. Hey, those dudes were just out of high school when this happened.
Better get a job.
And they did well. I mean, I'm not knocking them. I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who's playing rock and roll, I'm hoping that somebody moves it forward, but it just doesn't seem like there is anybody. Right. You know, if I'm thinking of, wow, what's important? Who could put on an album I'd be excited about? It'd probably be the Foo Fighters or somebody. You know, and the Foo Fighters, they're 50. I mean, there just aren't many. The Strokes had an album. Tool had a good album, or I don't know how good it was.
Fucking great. Not as good as the other stuff, but.
And people liked it. It got talked about.
I'm looking at the Billboard, the Hot 100. That's the singles chart, right?
Yeah.
And the top rock, I guess, rock person would be Harry Styles.
Oh, come on.
He's not a rock person.
And then Fleetwood Mac at 12 because of a stupid TikTok video.
Deftones just put out a new album, Ohms. Check it out.
Cool.
Isn't that something, though, that you know Fleetwood Mac could actually chart now with a song? And it's a good song
from
a great album. But that's why I was interested in the Billboard charts. It was actually Fleetwood Mac that got me interested. So
Shawn Mendes is 22nd. Well, it's a lot of soft rock.
I know.
Harry Styles again at 25.
And yet rock radio is doing really well. And
it's doing very well.
Not speaking, you know, self. I'm not trying to aggrandize my day job. But
so you can blow your own horn. It's okay.
But you know, there are people who are going to that, and it's kind of a comfort kind of a thing in a way. And
well, it's also
falling back in love with it.
It's also great music. Yeah. That music from the rock music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, there's some incredible music in there that people are really attached to. And a lot of it gets streamed by younger people who come along and go, hey, you know, I really like Coldplay, or I really like whatever it is. I mean, there are some Queen. Queen's got giant streams after the movie. The Beatles keep streaming. They got billions of streams, and they just came on Apple in 2016, I think. So anyway, I looked at the Billboard 200 today just because I click on it from time to time. Just, I wonder what's going on in the Billboard 200. And so at 198, the Beach Boys, Sounds of Summer, that's 50 years old. Best of Hall & Oates, that's mostly 30 to 40 years old. Bob Seger's Greatest Hits, 30 to 50 years old. That was at 181. 170, The Essential Elvis Presley. 157, The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Greatest Hits. Right. That's, you know, I'm 20 to 30 years or 15 to 30 years old. The Essential Billy Joel at 152. Bon Jovi's Greatest Hits, 149. The Eagles' Greatest Hits at 146. The Eagles keep, that record just keeps selling. I mean, and it's not, the original Eagles' Greatest Hits is 71 to 75. I didn't think those are their best songs because I like those songs when Walsh comes along.
Yeah.
More so. Anyway, that one just keeps selling. I don't know, who plays, does anyone play those old Eagles songs on the radio? Lion Eyes and Desperado and Take It Easy. And
I hope not.
I mean, but somebody, does anybody play it? Does Soft Rock play it? I'm not sure they do.
If you're soft, you do play that, yes.
I think US 103.1 in Flint does.
Nice.
145.
Carl Coffey's spinning those records.
Oh, go Carl.
Carl's got that big voice. Bon Jovi 2020, the new Bon Jovi, is at number 145. Oh. At number 134, Leonard Skinner's Greatest Hits. At 128, Nirvana, Nevermind. That's one of the few albums as opposed to Greatest Hits, because I think when a 25-year-old gets interested in an older band, they go, well, what are the hits?
Right.
But for some reason, Nirvana, Nevermind, is able to break through as an album, which I still love the album format, the...
Yeah, which doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
Sucks.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a total.
Okay, boomer.
It doesn't have to be a total concept album, but it may be as simple. You know,
maybe.
I don't know. It may be as simple as the fact that I expect to hear. Here Comes the Sun, because
maybe
You Never Give Me Your Money. You know, those songs in that order, because that's how I heard them
exactly.
For so long.
Yeah, right.
So it may just be me. Anyway, Abbey Road, also an album, is at 116. The Beatles 1 is at 97. Now, this is what I was really looking for. The Best of Van Halen Volume 1 is at 87.
Really? That low? I mean, it's got to rocket up the charts next.
I thought that Van Halen would be more dominant, but there's some others coming.
A lot of others, yeah.
Guns N' Roses Greatest Hits, number 73. Tom Petty's Greatest Hits, number 67. He's got that Wildflowers expanded release, Wildflowers and All the Rest. It's got the 10 songs it didn't put out, and it's got a whole bunch of other cuts, as we talked about. And I listened to the tracks that didn't make the cut, and they're pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's Tom Petty. I mean, to me, a Tom Petty leftover is probably going to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't really leftovers. They just were forced to pare down, because he meant to put out all 25 songs. And, you know, as record companies typically do, oh, I think it'd be better for
you to say that to Tom Petty?
So we only got 15. So now we have all 25.
And, that's a terrible idea.
And
I'm telling you, it fits too much stuff today.
Tom Petty's Greatest Hits, 67. Back in Black, one of the biggest selling albums ever.
Woo!
Is it 65 AC/DC?
Awesome.
Journey's Greatest Hits at 62.
Oh!
Sorry.
Wait. Pause 1 second. Did you guys hear the Journey story after Van Halen Eddie died?
We talked about the very soft
the guacamole.
Steve Perry.
Guacamole story.
They cried.
He did cry, just for the record.
No, there's been plenty of
times. Please, don't cry about it.
We have put multiple forensic accounts on that. Every one of them swears he cried.
His eyes were wet.
Yes.
I have that book at home, and I'm going to reread it tonight to find out if he really cried, because he did. He totally did.
Pussy.
It is always fun to verify that story. CCR, Cosmos, I think it's Greatest Hits, 56. Van Halen, 1984 at 51. Now, 84, is that the last David Lee Roth album, or is that the...
Yeah!
It is, right?
That's the last. That's the one, Jump, I think.
Yeah, that is that one.
Yeah, okay. Van Halen, Van Halen at number 48.
Oh, I love that one.
Diamonds by Elton John at 46. That's a new, I think that's a new record. Fleetwood Mac Hits at 48. Gimme Some Truth, John Lennon.
Wow, yes. Surprise.
At number 40. That's the same hits they've been repackaging,
yeah,
remixing since he died in 1980. I listened to it, and it sounds very good. How much better it sounds than the previous versions, I don't know, but it does have all of it in one set. Queen Greatest Hits at number 33, and Rumors at number 7. So Rumors, on the strength of that goofy viral video.
Rumors, that is a rumor.
Rumors.
I love Rumors.
Is the number 7 album in the country.
There's something very funny at the top of this chart. But, well, not funny, but
Pop Smoke?
Well, the 2 out of the top 3 albums right now are by dead people. Pop Smoke has the number 1 album right now. He's dead.
Juice WRLD?
And Juice WRLD is dead, too.
How about that? XXXTentacion.
And 21
XXXTentacion has two albums in the top 200.
And 21 Savage has this number 2 album, which, was he ever deported? Where's he living? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Tory Lanez is in the top 200, by the way, too. Just for the record. I know. Awesome. I'm so happy.
You didn't mention Hamilton's number 8.
No, I didn't. Machine Gun Kelly's number 5.
Hamilton, 264 weeks on the chart.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, God. So, anyway, rock and roll. Maybe nobody's doing any new rock and roll, but look at those albums are still doing it. And Van Halen dies, and that brings a whole lot of people back listening to Van Halen, which is good. I thought it would be. Didn't you think they would have like 10 albums in here, or 6 albums, or 7 albums? And I thought something would be top 10.
You said there was the greatest hits, but I'm not surprised those two are in there. 84, and then the very first one.
Yeah, I would have thought like 6 or 7 of them would have charted, and maybe they will next week. Maybe they're just a little behind. And speaking of music, Kanye West was getting shit today from Amber Rose.
Oh, yeah.
His ex. She was with him for a couple of years, and she claims that he has been slut-shaming her for 10 years and gave examples. I think, was she doing a podcast?
Does she?
I don't know. I'm just wondering where she said that, because she was being interviewed somewhere.
I'm sure a podcast was interviewing her.
Anyway, she dumped him, and so her punishment for doing that is that he describes her in some unflattering way. I think he said that, I needed 30 showers after we broke up.
She went off on the popular No Jumper YouTube channel and told Adam22, I don't know if he has things to make his wife more comfortable, but to slut shame me and say you need 30 showers.
Oh, so she takes a shot at Kim.
And she's got the new tattoo on her forehead, so she just looks ridiculous.
Shouldn't No Jumper be like the number one podcast in the world? They're constantly making noise, or making news.
Is this the same one with those girls?
Yeah, I'm almost positive, right?
Those girls who said that they slept with
those girls,
sons.
Yeah,
and they had another news story. I forget what the other one was after.
Let me look them up. Let's see where they are.
No Jumper.
Play the clip. Let's hear the clip.
Interesting when you talk about the way.
It's the whole.
Your mom raised you to be, very, very confident and stuff, because that's the same shit that they always say about Kanye, of that, his parents really, or his mother really taught him that he could be whatever. And sometimes people try to use that as an explanation of why he's sort of, gotten into this mental space that we see him in, where he clearly thinks that he's sort of above having to fit into almost any societal conventions.
Why come you don't have a tattoo?
Running for president, but not really being actually registered to run for president.
Might be the most tattoos on 2 people I've ever seen.
And she's wearing those sunglasses that you would see
after an eye doctor appointment.
92-year-olds wear back in 1992.
Or whatnot. Do you think that being around him, that you sort of soaked up some of that energy of really starting to believe that you were capable?
No.
It didn't really matter.
I didn't soak up anything from him. Me and him are very different people.
Really?
Who cares? I'm a compassionate person. I have empathy. I'm a good person. That's why people love me. That's why anybody I've ever dated always
I love
loved
when people
me.
Say those
they
kind
never,
of things.
You can't really mention anyone me. That says anything really bad about me.
No one gives
except
a
for
shit.
Him because I got away.
Right.
Like, I'm not like him at all.
Right.
I didn't get anything.
Who gives
from
a fuck? But
he didn't teach you anything about like how to be a celebrity or how.
No.
You could sort of like just
oh
become
God,
whatever it is
cares?
You wanted to be. So do you not really have a lot of respect for the way that he's been carrying himself in the media and stuff the past couple of years?
I mean, I'm indifferent. I don't really care. I don't really think about him like that. For me, it's some guy that I dated 10 years ago.
Mm. Slut.
You know, I don't feel a connection where I'm like, I'm concerned. That's not my business. That's his wife's business, what he does. But for me, yeah, I'm not that person at all.
Mm.
Fascinating.
I thought that show was hosted by the two girls.
No, that's that guy's
life. I am Kanye West, and I approve this message.
What's the show that had the girl on who blew the seven Phoenix Suns?
I thought that was this show. I thought
well,
that
those
was
are the, but those are girls on that show. Who's that guy?
That wasn't the guy talking to him? Wasn't there a guy talking to him?
Oh, talking to the two girls at the,
yeah.
About the
yeah.
Oh,
I think he set it up, and the one girl's like, "This is such a cute story."
Huh?
The other one started talking, right?
Okay, Brandon. So that's Adam. That's Adam 22.
I'm pretty sure.
By Adam. Okay. I never really see him in the clips. It seems like I'm always looking at these cute girls who are a little on the silly side. Just a little bit.
Well, how would they get noticed otherwise?
Yes, it was. Okay, finally. I've been looking and looking and looking. Yes, it was the No Jumper podcast, and I'm unaware of what their hosting situation is.
No, that guy, I'm looking at the video now. He was there. He did ask them about it.
He was. Because the reviews talk about Lena, and he does get mentioned. So maybe it's just a host, and they're kind of the color commentary. Anyway, the show does. I thought it would do better, because they sure get a lot of publicity. It's the, let me see if it comes up on Apple. It does well in Great Britain. It's listed in the music categories, and it does very well. I don't see it in the news or comedy category.
That same girl that said she nailed all the Phoenix Suns also claimed that Trey Songz kidnapped her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that would fall within his,
yeah,
his type.
Yeah,
I mean, his activities.
At least she didn't shoot her, right?
Yeah, is Trace? Oh boy, it's hard to keep rappers and the activities straight. Isn't he the one that assaulted that girl in front of his entire crew, and she was so angry because the crew did nothing? And I thought she was trying to sue him.
Didn't well, didn't he have the thing here? In
yeah,
Detroit?
With the police.
Yeah.
Yes, and he said that the police called him the N-word or something. I mean, he had some ridiculous story and. He's suing them, and he's not pleading guilty to anything, and he'll win in court. And then he pleaded and mm-hmm. was found guilty of everything they said he was guilty of, pretty much. But, yeah, that No Jumper doesn't... I don't know. Maybe we'll have to have Carl dig into the No Jumper. That's a show I would think would be worth listening to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I want to listen to another podcast called Dead and Gone.
Oh,
and it's hosted by Jake Brennan, who hosts Disgraceland. And I didn't think Disgraceland, I thought it was interesting. I just didn't see that the show did a lot of research on its own. It seemed to take the Jerry Lee Lewis story, for example, and tell you what's already out there and compile it all, which is very interesting. But it wasn't really doing anything entirely new. Now, Dead and Gone sounds to me like a story I haven't heard. It's about all the Grateful Dead fans who have been murdered or have disappeared. And honestly, I wasn't really aware of this. Did you know there's tons of Dead fans?
Not until I read Rendon's prep about that today, and I'm pretty astounded. It sounds like an interesting mystery.
I think Brandon's prep
sure
is
seems fishy.
Getting too many plugs today. It's not good. Kidding, Brandon.
I thought I put too much stuff in there, actually. I was gonna put a header saying, just read the headlines and click if you're interested.
Well, if you could please tell me when I should just read the headlines, I'd appreciate it, because sometimes I start digging into the story and I'm like, oh my God, this is so long. But although the Dr. Anderson story was a good story. It was just really long.
So have you listened to this?
I haven't, but I'm going to. Brandon, is that show out there now, or is this coming
happening?
Up? Dead and Gone?
I'm supposed to have information on it,
too.
Oh,
you just put the headline up?
Well, yeah, if you're telling us to read it all, you should have some idea.
Let's see.
What's happened?
I was very surprised to find out there are many, and they list them.
It is.
Unsolved murders of Grateful Dead fans. And honestly, you know, as they discussed it and I started thinking about it, it was like, you know, there's a lot of traveling. There's a lot of staying in sort of shady places.
Situations.
Or staying in a camper by the road or hanging out at the venue.
Hitchhiking.
Drugs. Lots of hitchhiking. That make you vulnerable.
Lots of drugs. Lots of booze. Lots of communal trust. Mm-hmm. Deadheads all trust each other. Mm-hmm. A lot of new friends.
God, what if there's a serial deadhead killer?
Yeah, Bob Weir. Started the band so we could go murder people.
Oh, cool. Great idea. I love it.
This is going to be a good one because also with Brennan is Payne Lindsay. And when it comes to podcasting, Payne Lindsay has done some shows. He did the Atlanta Monster. He did Up and Vanished. And that was the one where he started looking into a 20-year-old case on Tara Grinstead in Georgia. And he's 12 episodes deep or something like that. And it gets solved. And it's insane because he really sets it out there the entire, you know, first half of this podcast, because you're really wondering, well, who did it? And he doesn't know. Nobody knows because no one's been caught for this. But then probably because of the pressure and popularity of this podcast that was ongoing, more and more stuff kind of came out, and then boom, it gets solved. And it's pretty crazy to listen to a podcast about a murder and actually listen to it getting solved in real time. So that was, it'll be a good one.
That's happened surprisingly much, you know, how a story just sort of dies. Or it's accepted that, you know, this happened, and then somebody digs into it, and a lot of people start listening, and then they start adding a few things here and there, and then you draw some other names to it. Pretty incredible and pretty cool.
So, speaking of missing people, the chick that got lost in Zion.
Oh. Yeah, in Utah.
Is it now kind of like looking really suspicious that she maybe...
She's a big faker. I think it's phony.
Super
suspicious.
It's super duper iffy because
what's up with it though?
I know it's in Utah, which is, that's the home of Chad Daybell, isn't it?
Oh, Utah? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. She's gone 12 days. She's a 38-year-old mom and she's found a half mile from where she was last seen. Mm-hmm. So she was, you know, either close to where she was or she was never that far away.
Did you just walk back or anything? It didn't ever occur to her?
Well, that's funny you say that. Brandon and I were watching Inside Edition and they had a story on it. And her daughter's like, she marked all the days she was gone. And they showed a tree.
Yeah,
and
that.
All those marks. Oh, yeah. Like,
that's when I stopped believing her.
Oh, she couldn't just did that in 5 minutes and gone somewhere else? Or why would you just stay
She wasn't held hostage by someone who was giving her bread and water. And you're there for 2 years.
Yourself, honey.
Why would you stick around that tree? Wouldn't you just walk in the same direction?
Her hammock was in that tree.
But she claimed she was hit in the head.
By a tree.
And then, it's crazy. She didn't, like, no medical attention when they found her. She just walked out like, hey, what's going on? I'm totally fine.
Well, the biggest problem with her story is that she said she stayed in a certain area because there was a water source. But the water source that was available in that area would have probably killed her because the water is not safe. The water is incredibly polluted with some very dangerous things.
So, it would at least give her diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bad diarrhea.
They
is there
said
any evidence of that?
It wasn't even safe for dogs. But then her daughter's like, well, no, she just rinsed her mouth out with it. It's like, come on, what are you talking about? Stop defending her. She left you guys for 12 days.
So what was the motive for her? Is she trying to get attention? Supposedly,
she went on vacation with her lover. That's my guess.
She fasted prior to going out there in the desert, too. Don't know. They were discussing that this morning on CBS.
She seemed to be in condition that did not warrant an ambulance, and they felt was very comfortable to release her to her family 12 days after being in Zion National Park.
Oh, so this is cool.
This seems like a fun story. I feel like we're going to be...
Well, plus she's attractive, so you're going to hear a lot more about this.
She's kind of a lantern jaw, though.
I saw
what?
Her.
Really?
You know, I was going to say, I was going to say you can have her.
Really?
But, yeah,
well, I'm questioning myself, Brandon.
I have a picture of her.
I'm looking her up.
You know, I looked at several photos, and it's I don't know. There's something eerie about them eyes.
Holly. Yeah, her eyes are pretty.
It's really not terribly central to the story, but I would like to flesh this out.
Well, no, this is the most important thing now.
Some dude liked her.
Let's see. Okay, I'll Google her.
Oh, you're...
Holly, is it Holly Courtier?
Courtier. You're right. I mean, there's some pictures that's just... But the one they use this one on the news, she looked cute, but it's just a head up.
But weren't there sightings or possible sightings from people, you know, while she was gone?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
You like her eyebrows, Mark, and her eyes?
They're normal.
I heard that they got a lot of tits.
Pretty kooky to me. Trudy, is that normal?
Of course she's kooky because you know she spent 12 days in the forest.
Wow.
The picture. I'm surprised you're that into
her. What about this picture?
What picture?
Okay, there.
Huh? Well, she's wearing glasses, so I can't see those crazy eyes.
She looks pretty psycho to me. I didn't know that was your type.
Because you know too much about her now.
No, she looks psycho without me knowing anything.
Yeah, she does.
I give up.
Totally give up. Her sister's cuter. I think that's the problem.
Oh, where's the sister? Yeah. I'll check out the sister.
Wasn't it her sister?
Oh, is that her?
Or her daughter? I think it might be her daughter.
Oh, that's her daughter. But her sister was also, I thought... interviewed.
Her daughter has a better genetic package. Yes. No doubt.
Now we gotta see her dad.
I know, it sounds like I'm into her dad.
Well, but hearing the way that I don't know if this was the sheriff or whatever, but the way that he spelled it all out, he really made a case for, like, wait a minute here. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even have doubts after listening to him talk. Yeah. I just thought, okay, something's
fake
going on.
There's some definite iffiness going on here. All right. It appears the whole world has gone crazy, and I can't stop talking about it. And our friends at Zot Ford and Holly also realize that insanity is taking place. And that is why I guess we're all mourning the days when being crazy actually meant something. Anthony Gabar and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County want to let the baby have his bottle. So here are a few of Zotford's craziest deals of the year. The loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive, as low as $177 a month. Or get to Zot and lease the SUV everyone's talking about, the new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive, as low as $212 a month. Finally, lease the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4, as low as $199 a month. And just when you thought things couldn't get any crazier, Zot will have the highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for immediate delivery any day now. But stay tuned, because Mark may be rolling around a Zot Ford Bronco looking for his own adventures and craziness at some point in the very near future. Give Anthony a call or get details at dealsinthed.com. And Trudy, let's see. I just have a very quick assignment for you.
Oh,
can you take care of these fine folks and Dr. Roche?
Sure.
And I am going to get some libation.
Are you the guy back at home where Holly Courtier left you hanging for about 12 days to go to Zion National Forest? Then you may need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front lines may need to get divorced, too.
Remind me to get a divorce.
Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And Dr. Roche wants you to check out the Mommy Makeover. Also, Holly Courtier may benefit from that. Drew and Mike listeners also getting their October specials, body sculpting for trimming your tummy, your thighs, and your hips. Scoop out those stubborn spots that you just can't seem to work off at the gym with Body Tight. And Evolve. Evolve is the completely non-invasive system that trims, tones, and tightens while you chill out for your lunch hour. That's what happened to me. It helped me lose an inch around my thighs and more than that in my waist. I wanted to get into this little vintage dress that I love.
Yeah.
Last worn 2 years ago, a tiny little waist, and I wanted to wear it again, and that's my motivation. Whatever yours is, Mommy Makeovers also include breast lifts and Brazilian butt lifts, all procedures you can do to be in shape. If we ever get to show it off again someday in bikinis, good October specials, though. You can check them out at Dr. Roche, DrRoche.com. Or call for a consultation. Dr. Roche, call him up and ask him, hey, should I fix my nose or my skin looks a little sun damaged? What do we do about that? He does like 20 a day, and he can point you in the right direction. Call for a teleconsultation at 248-338-1110. Oh, by the way, Pronox, the nitrous they use for my skin resurfacing, that is the most I have left in years.
For skin resurfacing?
Yeah, Morpheus, that's that, you know, where they...
Yeah, you get that for that?
Yeah.
Morpheus. They get,
So, yeah, go...
Trudy, there is a place to show it off. It's Instagram.
That's true. Okay, well, I just sort of started putting things out on Instagram, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your Instagram handle? Throw it out there.
I just put it on the Wheel site, though.
Oh, okay.
I have nothing on my Instagram.
Instagram, one of the most prestigious and secretive platforms.
I'm nothing without my supporters, but I have none, so...
Well, women on Instagram...
I am nothing without my following.
And I say women because it's mainly, like, you know, girls. But when Melanie Griffith just posted a picture, she looked pretty good. She's 63. She looked great.
Yeah, well, she got a towel on her head.
She
goes like, oh, I just got out of the bathtub and oops.
I am modeling my pink bikini.
Yeah.
And I thought she looked okay. And yesterday we had Brooke Shields showing off that you would still nail her too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she looked wonderful.
I didn't see Brooke.
Here, I printed them out, which is going to make it look worse.
Okay. I found a picture of what I thought was Holly Courtier's sister, by the way.
Oh, really? And? Is she attractive?
I think, better looking.
You got to understand, I really care about Brooke Shields.
I already gave it up,
man. I don't
think
it matters.
Why do you have to prove me more wrong than what Drew and Brandon did?
I'm not worried about you. I'm just trying to be right.
I am. I'm only worried about myself.
Oh, well,
all three of you guys were right. Where did you have the bikini shot of Brooke?
The bikini.
Bikini.
Is right here. And she looks.
Yeah. She looks wonderful, man.
Oh, well, good for her.
Although
yeah.
The face there that's in the same picture looks a little Caitlyn Jenner-esque.
Yeah, she does. You are so right.
She looks like Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. By the way, that face is like, I dated Michael Jackson. What the fuck was I
thinking? Oh, she just went to the award show with him and Manny. Manuel Lewis.
I know, but I mean, God, people who are trafficked in Hollywood, I mean, that feels like trafficking, doesn't it?
That reminds me, we might lose a very good journalist to COVID-19 as Martin Brashear. Remember him?
Yes! How can we not?
Apparently he's really sick from COVID.
Oh, no.
And the story I was reading, you know, they keep saying about how he had the explosive 1995 interview with Princess Diana where she blew up the royal family. And I'm sitting there going, that's not what we remember. That's not the number one thing we remember Martin Brashear for. It's for the Michael Jackson interview.
For Michael, do you really think you should be doing this? That?
Yeah.
We have the footage.
All that. That all comes from Martin Brashear. Don't ask me what he's done lately. I know Nightline for a long time.
Why can't he get a massive dose of steroids and antibodies?
My shoulder.
That's a great question, but he's 57, and apparently it's so bad that the BBC put out a comment about it.
Oh, my God.
Just that he's just doing that
must
bad.
Be cooked.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting. I don't feel good.
Wow. Damn.
Here's Martin.
Your wife gave you two children as a present because she knew you wanted to be a father.
Yeah, that's a lovely gesture.
It is a lovely, lovely.
I love how he's like, what? But Michael, I mean, he's really trying hard to make sense of it.
Jesus said to love the children and be like children, be youthful and be innocent and be pure and honorable. He was talking to his apostles, and they were fighting over who's the greatest among themselves. And he said, whoever humbled yourself like this child is the greatest among me. And he always surrounded himself with children. And that's how I was raised, to believe and to be like that and to imitate that.
I agree. Also, along the lines of the pandemic, Brandon, I was reading an article about millennials who are not counting their birthday this year because they couldn't have a party. One is a 34-year-old woman. She turned 34.
So basically they're going to have one next year for it instead?
And they're calling themselves Peter Pans of the pandemic.
What?
So this year doesn't count because we're millennials and we say it doesn't count. So next year is when I really turn 34.
Well, we should all do that then. We don't count this year.
I'm sure there's a couple Gen Xers and a few Gen Zers that are doing that as well.
No, there's not. The article specifically references her and then a 24-year-old in Houston who is not going to have her birthday this year.
A what? A how old?
24. Isn't that the low end of millennial?
I don't think so.
I mean, why do they feel like they're sort of entitled to that? Because they can't handle it.
Trudy. It's just not fair.
I'm sorry, Brandon.
And it only affects them.
You're the exception because you deal with a lot and you deal with your obligations and responsibilities. But people who are so soft that they can't just like handle that this has been a tough year.
Well, here's Laura. She's also 34. I don't know if that's real 34, if she's just 33. She says, it goes back to being robbed of having fun.
Oh, boy.
At a certain point, I know I can't do all the things that I can do now, like go to shows, karaoke, and traveling. Your early to mid-30s are really precious, particularly if you're a woman.
Are they really?
Because you have to think about when all those more grown-up things are going to happen for you, especially having children. So I'm like, God damn it. She's 34 and I don't know. Maybe millennials' timelines are a little different, I guess.
God. Wow.
Well, she hasn't thought about all the grown-up things yet. She's 34.
Oh, geez.
Right.
I mean, isn't that a little... A quarter of her, you know, earning age is pretty much gone, and now she's worried about the future?
Wow, okay. That's pretty soft.
There's so many already. I see them every day. Let's see. If you just type in millennials, look at all these headlines, you know, that are just recent. Millennials get little satisfaction from democracy. Millennials are losing faith in democracy.
Well, they're the biggest collection
of people,
aren't
they? Soon have to millennial investors. They'll have to take millennial investors seriously.
Isn't that, but aren't millennials the biggest group now? Biggest generational group?
Are they?
I think they are. I think, at least in the workforce, at least.
In the workforce, yes. Yeah. But I mean, the boomers, there's still way more.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why they're going to get a lot of attention. Let's see what else Laura has to say here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What I think about that bullshit.
Everyone keeps the faith that the pandemic will let up by their next birthday in 2021. Mostly because the alternative is unthinkable. We all know in the darkest parts of our brain, that's far from a guarantee, and I'm sure if we're prepared to contend with that reality yet. Quote, I've seen some headlines lately that talk about how things will never go back to normal, and I've been too fragile to click on them.
Fragile?
I'm just trying to say positive, adds Laura.
It comes to being fragile.
Laura does.
Why would you admit to that?
About giving yourself some sense of hope that you can't get your life back on track.
Jesus.
Drew, Cliff Notes version, millennials are taking the year off from their birthday, so they're all because of the pandemic.
According to three people.
According to this article I read online, it's true.
According to three people, and one of them was Gen Zer.
She's on the lower end.
Because the year was so.
They can't celebrate their birthday and do anything. So this year doesn't count.
Harsh.
It only affects millennials.
Well, concerts.
Should they count? Should they have two birthdays next year? I mean, is that what they?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like the obvious plan.
Oh, wait. Why don't we just have Millennial Day where they all can celebrate their birthday whenever the pandemic
is. Oh, I love it.
It's a cool idea.
But the one girl, I'm just for all those that already heard this, sorry, but I just want Drew to hear it. This one girl said that, where'd she go? Where'd Laura go? It all goes back to being robbed of having fun. At a certain point, I know I can't do all the things that I can do now, like go to shows, karaoke, and travel.
Karaoke.
Your early to mid-30s are really precious, particularly if you're a woman, because you have to think about when all those more grown-up things are going to happen to you, especially
in your early 30s, all those grown-up things are coming up?
Thank you. Great minds think alike. That was kind of my point. She should have been thinking about that a few years ago.
Maybe she was talking about Maybe she was talking about having children or something.
That's fair. That's fine. I mean, I know you people, you millennials, have them later in life. But
I don't know. How are you relating to a lot of women when you're 33 and you're talking about having kids coming up?
You had two kids when you were like 60. What are you talking about? You people.
No, I'm... I mainly took exception to the whole thinking about adult things. I think you should think about adult things before you're 34 or 33.
Okay. Hold on. What are adult things? Getting a job, having a career, having a family. I think a lot of those things have happened for most people by 33, or they're certainly very close.
They're thinking about it, right?
Or you're in between. You're in the middle.
But they don't get to go to concerts and karaoke.
Karaoke? She hasn't gotten enough karaoke in at 33?
Why can't you do karaoke?
Hillary turned 34 in May. She plans to put her 34th year on layaway. Her 30s have gone exactly according to plan thus far. She moved back to her native California.
Who plans a decade of, I mean, really? Okay, my 30s, here's my plan.
She moved back to her native California from New York, has a new boyfriend, whom she met just before the pandemic hit, and she finally figured out how to groom her eyebrows in a way that satisfies her. She is a proud, self-described late bloomer, and because of that, she says she's been
immune. Because of the eyebrows?
What are you going to do about an eyebrows?
She's been immune from some of the typical aging anxiety that afflicts the women around her.
I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
So her and her friend have decided that this year doesn't count.
Lay away. That's
wow, hilarious. That's intense. If I tell you, millennials, they do a lot of thinking. Maybe too much thinking.
Next year, Hillary hopes to hold an anxiety-free birthday party where she'll turn 34 again.
Remember, they even have their song for 2020.
Low key, fuck 2020.
Listen to this entitled comment by her. Years start to matter less the older you get. By the time you're in your 50s, literally, who gives a shit? I'm a little Peter Panish, and I'm starting to feel like there's a finite amount of time that I can truly be.
Hopefully,
that I can be truly irresponsible.
Yeah, there's a finite amount of time you can be irresponsible. That's true.
She's 34.
Until your parents stop paying for everything.
Yeah, we were like, hell no, we deserve this year.
How entitled. Wait, she's 34, and she thinks 50 is just not. There's no value in life after 50.
Youth.
I mean, I'm
childhood.
Don't give a
part
shit.
Of me agrees with her.
Up, magic, flying.
Oh boy, I have some breaking news.
Oh,
breaking news with Mort Krim.
Megyn Kelly is on top of the podcast charts.
What?
And while I have not listened to Megyn Kelly's podcast yet, I've had a few people who have either sent me podcasts of Megyn Kelly's. I mean, people seem to really like it. She had a. I think Adam Carolla might have been her first guest, which is what a great first guest.
Hey, he was
guest.
On our show first.
He was. But, you know, I was going through the last 5 or 6 months looking at weekly totals and daily totals and all that.
And this is Kelly.
And there were a few of those shows where I'm like, wow, what did we do that day? Either because it was so low or because it was so high. And, you know, you find out strange things. And a lot of times you go, I can't imagine why that show. What did we do that day? You know, and you're reading about it, and you know, Mags took a shit in the basement, or you know, it's just something, a bunch of strange things. You know, why would that show be so popular? And sometimes you find it. Oh, well, the day before we did this, so you've kind of hooked people a little bit more, and you know, they're there the next day. But there was one show that, in my opinion, there was really no question why it did so well, and that was about. 6 weeks ago, and I think I want to say it was about 194,000 downloads, and it was Adam Carolla.
Whoa, yeah.
Adam Carolla. And the day before had about, I think, 138,000, and the day after had, you know, a normal number.
What happened?
I mean, it really just was quite apparent that people really like Adam Carolla. And I do, too. Yeah. I mean, I think he is one of the...
Sure.
Pound for pound, one of the best interviews you get every time you get him. He's just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. He's funny. And he's different. And you don't always
you
know what's coming.
Say, yeah.
So, Megyn Kelly's show, she had... who else did she have on? Because I heard about a couple other guests. Anyway, I didn't really think... I don't know. I didn't think much of her doing a podcast. But when I think back to her Sunday night show, she had Alex Jones on.
That's right.
And I thought, wow, I've never seen Alex Jones on a, you know, prime time-ish show like that. And I wanted to see him. I was intrigued as to what, you know, what she would do with him.
So much shit for it, too.
Which I thought was bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guy that talks to a lot of people and he's influential in some way, whether it's twisted or wrong or whatever. He still reaches a lot of people. So he's doing something.
So she had her very first episode. Wait, did you say the first one was where she had... Carolla on?
That's what I thought.
It looks like... No, he was about 5 in. So the first one was Glenn Greenwald. I don't even know who that is.
I have no idea.
And Edward... Did she really have Edward Snowden on?
She does. She lands great people. She always has.
Then the next episode, Hugh Hewitt, Crystal Ball.
Who's Hugh Hewitt?
He's the right-wing radio guy. Ben Shapiro, the next episode.
Ben Shapiro would be a good guest, I would think, in terms of just people listening.
Then Ted Cruz.
Oh, God.
Then Adam Carolla.
You know, this is interesting.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
Then Dana Loesch.
Dana who? Oh, from the NRA?
Yeah. Then the next one, Crystal Ball again, some other people. Candace Owens. That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah, definitely.
Then she had Cube's on.
Yeah, Cuban is on. And you know what?
Ooh.
Cuban was the one that I was sent by a couple people, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I was led to believe that she sort of cornered Cubes, or she got the best of Cubes, and it didn't sound like it was an ugly interview. It just sounded like there was some good contentious conversation.
The episode after that, Alan Dershowitz.
Okay.
She claims she talked to him about Epstein, but I'm sure that's going to, you can almost guess what he's going to say.
Oh,
besides,
yeah.
I got my underwear on.
Well, she illustrates something that I was just talking about before the show with Trudy, which is that sometimes I go, God, where's the future lay? And in terms of, you know, what to do with a show, because I feel like you have to either be here on the right or here on the left. You have to have a point of view that is consistent and deliver people the view they want. And I don't like
echo chamber. Everybody wants the echo chamber.
I just can't stand trying to defend everything on the left or everything on the right or just being stuck in a place like that. Wait, hang on 1 second. Excuse me.
What happened? My God, there's so much on tonight.
You all right, Drew? You okay?
It's an emergency.
What's on?
Well, the debate, which I don't know much of that I'm
going to. Oh, did it already start?
I'm going to watch. No, it doesn't start at 9, and then, you know, that the football game's on. But
Drew thought it was at 8, but isn't that partly pre-show? Or what?
The debate?
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't even have it on. I have a football game on, which this debate won't be on Fox, right? Because don't they have the football game?
Oh, yeah. Well, how can it not be there?
Let's see. But then Borat just dropped, too. So.
All right.
So can we wrap so we can watch all this stuff?
Yeah.
I got a long Mike Clark bit today.
It's all about me. Well,
yeah. it's about me, too.
It's the Mike Clark gallbladder saga.
Oh.
The gallbladder saga. When's that from? I don't remember that.
I think that was old building.
But it's got multiple entries. It's basically three different shows into one, all in the same thing. And it involves Sminty and Dina and a lot of Mike Clark on Fox, too.
So speaking of the debate in Trump, did you see his Twitter allegedly got hacked, although Twitter's denying that it happened?
Oh, yeah. There's no way. His password was MAGA1234.
Do you think it's bullshit?
I don't believe this story.
Why do you not believe it?
There is no way in hell that the president of the United States of America, who's been tweeting like a madman and who everybody is fearing that if he does get hacked, somebody could put a tweet out and it could cause World War III and all this chaos. So his Twitter account has to be the most protected thing possibly ever.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the password? MAGA2020.
Oh, that's right.
Bullshit.
But it's happened before.
But people, trust me, people would be hacking. They would be hacking that every single day.
I'm inclined to believe you, except for the one thing that it allegedly happened back in 2016 where people guessed his password. I do find it interesting this guy claims that after it happened, two-step verification got turned on and password changed. You wouldn't put it past him? Do you know that story that Trump, I don't know if I believe it or not, but Trump, someone guessed his password again for the second time.
Oh, MAGA 2020?
Yeah, with an exclamation point.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
While you were gone, Trudy was talking about how she wants to wrap up. She's got too much stuff.
She does? Okay.
that was a master class in
I was going to say, just play a quick clip from Trump on 60 Minutes.
Okay, which part of the part of the
It's like 18 minutes in. I might be a minute early.
I'll show you different plans. We've come up with many
talking about his health care plan.
And we've got the
he is. It devolves, but
no one knows where what the plan is. But
that was the worst part of Obamacare. That's gone.
Okay, all of that. I grant you all of that.
He didn't tell me that he drank with two hands again.
Yes, he did. I was going to tell you that. I wrote that down.
I just saw it. No,
I figured somebody must have already said something about it or will.
You know what's funny, Drew? I saw a still picture of it on Twitter. earlier, and I just thought it was the last time he did that.
No, he drank with two hands. He also,
I tell you, sometimes I do that where I'll grab a cup with two hands, and I think of him.
I do too.
It's like, oh my God, I've become Trump.
I think he also drinks with one hand, though. At another point in the debate, for those of you who,
well, who cares? Are
terribly
anyway.
Concerned about it. No, when he grabbed the glass of water, I immediately went, oh, my God, he's got two hands on it.
Why is that so funny?
And then I think I was greatly relieved to see he only had one hand on it at another time.
Short term, longer term. I'll show you different plans. We've come up with many plans.
Here comes again.
And we cut the individual mandate out. You know, the individual mandate is gone. That was the worst part of Obamacare. That's gone.
Okay.
I agree.
All of that. I grant you all of that. But if there's no plan, a replacement plan,
right,
and the Supreme Court says that Obamacare goes away, people with pre-existing conditions will be stranded. No. And that's just a fact.
It's wrong. It's wrong. A new plan will happen.
But will.
And we won't do anything, will and is. We won't do anything and no plan unless we have pre-existing conditions covered. And the individual mandate, which you don't want to mention, was terminated. It was terminated. Individual mandate was terminated. That is the biggest thing that's happened, because under that, you would pay a fortune for the privilege of not having to pay for bad health insurance. We got it terminated. Terminated through the legislature. Signed. Done.
That is
Obamacare, no longer Obamacare. We got rid of the most important element of Obamacare, and it was the worst element of Obamacare.
That's
that
a terrible
wanted.
Idea.
Okay,
that
was at least a minute early.
So
but
Obamacare
hang on,
essentially
it's coming.
Was terminated as we know it.
Are you going to say that you didn't say this? Because I saw you say this.
Go ahead. No, you're really trying to. I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what?
You like this? I thought.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But when I watch him walk out of a store, he's in the midst of a scandal. His family is corrupt. Okay, he's corrupt. He's a corrupt politician.
That's a bunch
of
malarkey.
He's with the ice cream. And the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking, of course he is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is.
You
see
know,
that?
The Senate
so you're like big tech. You're protecting him. And everyone is, except for...
Yeah, but you're taking something that was investigated
Leslie,
by a Republican committee.
You think it's okay for the mayor of Moscow's wife to give him millions and millions of dollars, $3.5 million, to give his family $3.5 million? Do you think it's okay for Hunter Biden to say that we're giving the big guy 10% of this massive amount of money they're taking in? Do you think it's okay for all of these horrible things that you've seen where they're getting hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, where China gives them $1.5 billion to manage the family, $1.5 billion, and then he's supposed to negotiate? Let me tell you, it's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So,
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is.
No.
It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something?
Okay.
You know, this is 60 Minutes.
I don't know why he wanted to get into spying on his campaign, because he felt like, does that resonate with people?
I mean, it was kind of the very beginning before he even became president. I mean, I've always been sort of thought, or I've always been told that you have to let certain things go.
Yeah.
And sort of be on your, like, forward argument.
Yeah, I don't think it's a winner right now. But what was going on there was, this happened probably, I'm going to guess, 5 times during the interview. You heard the healthcare thing, which is just going, the conversation's going nowhere. And a couple times, and maybe he does this, maybe not there, but he does it down the road. Brent, did you hear this interview?
Not the full extent, no.
I mean, anybody hear a lot of the interview? No?
No, I didn't have a moment today,
She wants to, as an example, at the beginning, he's going on his thing about, we have the best economy ever. We had the lowest unemployment for blacks. We had the lowest unemployment for Hispanics. And she says, you know, that's not true. And she's referring to him saying, we have the best economy ever. We had the best economy ever. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't know. What was the best economy ever? Can anybody answer that?
Well, how are you describing economy?
I don't know, but just the way she said it was like, you know, it was some fairy tale, and our economy was doing great. And he actually stopped and said, hey, we have the highest stock market ever. We had almost 30,000. We're almost there again. And he starts running off stats, and it just was, there was really not much that they got into that she didn't object to his answer. And he kept stopping and saying, boy, I hope you can be this tough on Joe Biden. And she would be, oh, come on, you know. And then when he got to Hunter Biden, which he brought up, he said, he's in the middle of one of the biggest scandals. And she says, oh, it's not a scandal. And that was the...
Where's Hunter?
That, I believe, was the crack he wanted. And he gets into, well, why is he in hiding? Crack. And, you know, the ice cream store thing and on and on. I think... Leslie, and I can't say for sure because I don't know what she thinks, but I think she is very reflective of what's going on, which is I think this is what a lot of people feel, and I think a lot of the media is treating it this way too, that it doesn't matter what happened with Hunter and Joe Biden. It's not, or what Trump has done is a lot worse. And therefore, we're not going there, or we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Because honestly, this thing would be so easy to dispel. Hunter Biden could put out a press release and say, I'd never have been to that store. I did not drop off my laptop there. Those are not my emails. And I mean, that would put a big crimp in the whole story. But the fact that no one is denying the main tenets of it, it just sort of lives on. And he keeps trying to pound it. And I'm sure he'll try to pound it in the debate. But it doesn't really, nothing happens. You can't say it's not his laptop. He could say if it's his laptop. I mean, isn't it that simple? Couldn't he say, sure, you know, I did drop off my laptop there, or I didn't drop off my laptop there, or those are not my emails. That's not me. I don't have meth mouth. That's not me with a crack pipe, whatever. I mean, he could easily put out a press release, because I was thinking, well, why doesn't he just give an interview? Well, of course, he's not going to give an interview, but he could put out a press release and say, this is bullshit, this is bullshit, this is bullshit, this is bullshit. And then it's not done necessarily, but at least he's on the record saying no. But we don't have that.
Because it probably is his computer.
Oh, I think it is his computer. In fact, that's my 100% honest opinion, is that it is his computer, that he was doing some really funky deals, and that, but I
Are
don't
you surprised
think...
the guy that said that, oh yeah, that's, I was on the receiving end of that email, why doesn't he put out the email then? Then there's no doubt.
I don't even have a fucking computer.
You mean Bevan Cooney?
I don't remember what the guy's name was.
Well, a lot of these emails went to multiple people, and one guy who's in prison now, who is Hunter's partner, who of course he does not like Hunter a great deal, he's given his 26,400 emails, which are being gone through. More emails came out today, and Tony Bubble,
that's the guy,
Bubblinski. He is now out there saying it's all true. He says, he was an institutional investor who joined James and Hunter Biden to help run CEFC China, the energy company. He says he was brought in to be the CEO. In fact, today, Trump said that Tony Bubulinski was going to be a special guest at the debate. Now, I don't know if that's happening or not. We'll know, and those of you listening probably already know this, whether that happened or not. But Tony Bubulinski is commenting on the emails that were written to him, and he says that... and he released some screenshots also. And, you know, I don't know who screenshot. I don't know if this is a real thing on his phone, but it says Hunter Biden, and he's telling him various things, and Tony is telling him various things back. And he says that Joe Biden is being referred to in these emails. And the screenshots he put out, for example, and those of you who are just completely bored or don't care about this because Trump's worse, so I don't care, I'm not voting for Hunter Biden, which is what I think a lot of people think. Just fast forward through it. Hunter Biden's partner, James Galar, tells Tony, don't mention Joe being involved, only when you are face-to-face. I know you know this, but they are paranoid. You need to stress to H, Hunter, I assume, does he want to be the reason or factor that blows this up? And then the group message, Hunter says, hey, Tony, I have no idea. In light of the fact we are at an impasse of sorts, and both James' lawyers and my chairman gave an emphatic no, I think we should all meet in Romania next week. And he says the chairman is a reference to Joe Biden. He provides another screenshot. Hunter Biden says, and Tony, that is what Zhang implied. They're both coming to be my partner and to be partners with the Bidens. He has implied that the number one has made that clear and available to him, the number one being Joe Biden, according to Tony Bubulinski. So they are making progress on trying to verify, at least from the people on the email, that they are the people. But the as far as the laptop, the longer they say it's, they don't say anything and just say, ah, it's a smear campaign, I think it looks worse. But I don't think voters care.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's what Jill Biden was asked about it. And her response was better than anything Joe's put out there, where he's like, I don't think people care about these emails, which is kind of like gaslighting. But yeah,
she said,
people
don't care about terrible things being said about the Biden family or something. Yeah. They don't want to hear about the
Biden
family.
I'm not voting for Hunter then.
Yeah, that's one of the most popular comments I've seen. I'm not voting for Hunter Biden.
By the way,
Hunter Biden isn't running for president.
Tony's having his press conference right now, so yeah.
Oh, he is. Is that before the debate?
He's doing it right now.
Well, I don't think we've heard the last of this. I don't know what that means, but I personally, I honestly believe that a lot of this stuff is absolutely true, or they would just say, it's not my laptop. I didn't drop it off. I have GPS to prove it, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't say that, and Joe doesn't say it either.
So in your mind, so it's all true. What does it mean to you?
It just means that they had a really funky, corrupt operation going on in foreign countries. And I honestly don't know if people care about that or if it even matters. But it's pretty shitty that this guy who is a Hunter Biden is a really, shady guy. And he's hauling in $40 million from China, Russia, and Ukraine.
It's ludicrous. I'm just wondering, do you think what happened was illegal?
I don't know. I could not answer that. I would say
I don't think it matters, really. I mean, people will just make up their mind anyway.
As far as voting, I really think if Hunter Biden came out and said, it's my laptop, all of it is mine, Joe is the chairman, blah, 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 I still think people would vote for Joe Biden. I don't think they care.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who just want to vote Trump.
They think Trump is worse. What Trump has done is worse. Trump has, because of the emoluments clause.
I think a majority of them would, but don't forget what happened when Comey had his press conference and reopened it. And a lot of people said, you know what, you're right. Fuck Hillary. I'm not dealing with that. I'm not voting, period. I mean, it could have the effect. The problem is a lot of people have already voted. Like 40 million votes have already been cast. So the question is, those that haven't voted or are on the fence about voting, would this be the kind of thing that would make them go, you know what, it's not worth it, I don't like either guy, I'm not voting, which I think could possibly happen.
I don't know.
It's enough chaos and it raises enough questions that, yeah, it will have an effect, but is it going to be a 2-point effect? Is it going to be a 10-point effect?
I think people that hate Trump are going to vote against Trump, and I
would agree, because now we know what he is as a president now, whereas in 2016 people didn't.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between 2016 and now, especially in the independent area. People have probably made up their minds, I don't like it, he's too combative. In fact, there's another interesting part of the 60 Minutes interview, which I really thought was, I really expected to be thoroughly bored, and I wasn't, was when Leslie brought up the fact that...
I'm surprised you could listen to that terrible audio quality.
Yeah. It wasn't that hard.
Horrible.
Trump is talking about, Leslie is bringing up division in the country, and she says that, you attack, 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 and Trump says, no, that's defense. I'm defending. If somebody attacks, I'm going to attack back. And
next question. What a ridiculous question.
And I think therein lies the answer, is that he's not going to not answer to any attack, and, she and probably many other people view it as he's always attacking people.
Are people just sick of all this?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're weary. A lot of people. Now, it depends. Sure. If you're really a Trump lover, you think that they tried to take him out with the Russia bullshit.
Sure.
Impeached him over nothing. And that's Hunter Biden anyway.
I understand that. But how many people is that?
20%, 25%. As far as the Ukraine thing, it's even more, it makes the Hunter Biden laptop even more interesting, because he was talking about Hunter Biden on that phone call. That doesn't make the phone call any more perfect.
Any less perfect, yeah.
Or any more perfect. Yeah. It's still stupid. I have no idea why he did that. But I would think the newsworthiness would be off the charts And yet, and somebody said this last night, that they feel that, well, they were trying to sort of explain why people like Leslie Stahl, who said, he's not in the middle of a scandal. And she was really saying, it's nothing. And I think she went on to say that this has been debunked or something to that effect, is that it's just a universal feeling that this is no worse and not as worse or close to what Trump has done or what his kids have profited. And I don't even know what that number is, by the way. It's funny, when the Emoluments Clause came up in 2016 and he said, oh, I'm turning it all over to Don Jr. or what? I mean, isn't that the...
He was supposed to divest, but he didn't really, but they run it, so he doesn't know anything about it, which is similar to Joe saying, I never talked to Hunter about it.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the similarities of kid offspring and their father, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I don't know how you could ever measure what Trump has gained or not gained, and people will tell you that, well, his daughter got all these trademarks from China, and all these people stayed at his properties because they wanted to curry favor, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they didn't, you know, they're not as big of losers as Hunter is.
No, no, and he's a business person, and so supposedly his kids are business people.
I guess the question would be, would either of those offspring be what they are without the last name?
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But I think Hunter Biden is, I mean, we're talking multiple rehab after rehab. He's banging his sister-in-law. Now, that alone, I would think would merit.
Well, I'm not voting for him then.
I would think that would merit at least one joke on SNL or somewhere. I mean, it's kind of incredible. It feels like there is a defense being put on by certain people that should be more interested in this, or at least digging in a bit more. But
maybe they're
just been
because,
dismissed.
We all grieve differently.
I can't imagine, honestly. And you know what will be interesting to find out, too, is when this all comes out in the wash, I wonder what happened to Trump's businesses.
What do you
because
mean?
I got the impression that people were boycotting him, that sports teams that used to stay at his places don't stay there anymore. But then you hear that people who have interests are staying at his places, like, hey, Dennis, loved your hotel or whatever, and that he profits in that way. But, you know, in New York, the suggestion was that Trump Towers was a death knell, that no one would stay there. But I don't, you know, is that real? I don't even know.
The bigger question is the whole debt issue with him. You know, if he does have all these big balloon payments coming up,
I personally see all the buildings he has, and I think he's got to have it far more money than $500 million. But I don't know, and I don't know what he's doing or what he's winking to his kids. I mean, nobody knows.
Sure. Yeah.
Somebody said he owes $1 billion yesterday. That it's not $421 million; it's $1 billion. Is that true? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing with his tax return, is that all real? I think I kind of believe it is.
Well, what part?
Well, that he paid $750 or that he paid China $100.
You know what? Someone sent me an email. I wish I had it in front of me, but sent me an email and said that $750 is what he owed after paying quarterly taxes. And I had not heard that anywhere. I asked him, you know, where
I haven't heard
from
that anywhere either.
I just thought it was from carrying over losses over a multitude of years. Or overpayments over a multitude of years,
well,
pushing
that
forward, which happens a lot of times.
The claim is that he pays no taxes in 11 years, and he pays taxes in 7 years. Now, what is he taking losses in the 11 years? I mean, people do a lot of funny things with accounting. And with guys like that, who knows? I mean, does he have shell companies that absorb losses or that absorb profits? This Hunter Biden thing, by the way, this is why I, you know, between the sex, drugs, and money, I can't believe there isn't more interest in this with journalists, with investigative people, because if you read about these companies like CEFC and his LLCs, mm-hmm. They tell you things like, well, this company owed a lot of taxes. And so it's now defunct because it didn't pay taxes in the state that it was listed or something like that. So it's like, psh, it's just gone. Well, I mean, these are big companies involving big amounts of money, but we really don't know, or do we know, what's going on with all these Hunter Biden operations? How does he absorb this income? Is it taken as personal income? Is it part of an LLC? What is it?
Yeah.
And where's it go? I mean, it's all, well, I think it would be fascinating for someone to dig into, but other than,
I, I, I agree, but I think a lot of people just couldn't wrap their head around it. But when it's sex and drugs, it's a way better story.
Well, with money, people can wrap their head around money, but I truly believe that this is accurate, that people think Trump's worse. I don't care. I don't care about Hunter Biden. I don't care if Joe's involved a little bit or a lot or a medium. He's better than Trump, so I don't give a fuck, and I don't want to hear about it.
Sure, probably.
And actually,
that's probably 4 years of exhaustion for a lot of people, too.
You know the guy from CBS who asked him a question? He got all pissed and said, oh, yeah, a smear campaign. I expect that out of you.
Yeah.
People are pissed at that reporter for asking the question.
Who are people? What people?
Oh, a lot of people were complaining about it. And actually, I think other journalists said it was.
Now Mark sounds like Leslie.
What's that?
Well, I'm sure people were, but.
What people?
What people of any consequence?
That is kind of the thing, is that it's sort of a vague, you know, people are or this. You know.
Well, I mean, it could be Twitter trending or something like that.
Quantifiable.
I mean, there's a lot of situations like that where you hear, and not necessarily related to Trump or Biden, where. You know, this like this Jeffrey Toobin thing, this guy who's pissed about the he was mentioned in the Rolling Stone article, and he was pissing and moaning because, a guy beats off and the whole country's talking about it. What? No, a guy didn't just
damn,
beat off.
I mean, Jeffrey Toobin?
He would have you believe that the guy is, you know, alone in his apartment or his house or something. No, he's on fucking Zoom with a bunch of people watching beating off. I mean, that's fucking insane. That is not the whole country trying to find out about Jeffrey Toobin's sex life. But it's just, sometimes I just find it so bizarre. And this is part of the problem with everyone having a voice, is that everyone says something. And a lot of times what they say is really stupid. So I don't know what to make of that. And Jeffrey Toobin, by the way, was there anything new with Jeffrey Toobin today? You can hit the outro, Brandon.
He's so happy that the Rudy Giuliani thing happened. He's so happy that there's
isn't
a debate
that amazing?
Tonight. He's so happy 60 Minutes happened. Yeah, so he can just kind of fade away.
Coast. But he's not going to, I think they will catch up with it. It's just there's a lot of shit going on.
I'm curious.
The zone is flooded with other things. Catch up with it.
When you brought up the Cincinnati Reds announcer, Marty Brenneman, Thom Brenneman. He said, I said yesterday, gay. He said fag. He said fag capital or something.
Yes.
And that was like the scandal heard around the world for 48 hours. And a guy beats off on Zoom. How do you even compare those two things?
Well,
it's not even close.
No, you're right. But once again, there's the audio of his ridiculous apology in the video. So it's
well, that was all fun.
No, that's what I mean. But it's more fun to share stuff like that and talk about that.
That's a terrible idea.
Wait, since when wouldn't people make a joke out of beating off on Zoom? I mean, I would think
well,
if there's ever a video, then it will get a lot funnier. But
yeah.
By the way, one more thing about Leslie Stahl. When she said, it's not a scandal. He's not in the middle of a scandal. Trump started laying some shit out. And she said, well, who are the sources for it? Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. And so Trump, of course, naturally kept going. And it goes on for a little while. But I think that's such a weird response, because what is the truth of the emails? Did Hunter Biden drop his laptop up there? Ask him. If Joe Biden is tired of the whole thing, why doesn't he ask his son if it's his laptop? And if it isn't, tell us.
Doesn't Rudy have the claim checks or whatever from it being dropped off? I thought that's one of the things he said.
Yeah, they do. They have Hunter Biden's signature on the...
He says he has the receipts.
Yeah. So
what else
I don't,
needs to be said?
But why is Leslie Stahl trying to make it nothing by bringing up Rudy Giuliani, which is a great strategy, by the way, because Rudy Giuliani is now not only...
I was going to say, there's a lot of questions about his background and...
Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah, and
yeah, there is. I mean, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to throw out there if you're in Biden's corner. But if you're not, all I say is, did he drop off the fucking laptop or not? Ask him. It's that simple. But I have not heard anything from Hunter Biden.
No,
he said anything?
He's probably high and enjoying life right now.
Probably so. He's got a nice crib and a nice Porsche, new Porsche, and a baby,
and two new babies.
He's got an illegitimate baby too. I'm sure he loves that child.
That's all a right. Terrible idea.
We'll see you on Monday.
Mike is frozen on our television screen.
Oh, jeez.
From Fox 2 last night.
Oh, that's bad.
You look
well,
so serious.
Well, this is why. Look at that stupid hair. Oh, my God. And what a face only a mother could love.
You're so hard on yourself.
Yeah. Well, I inherited the worst features from both parents. It's just amazing.
Paul Pierzecki separates you at birth with Clay Aiken because of your hair.
Paul, come on.
Paul says, I know you've been making a lot of red-eye flights because of Idol, but do you need to have the hairstylist working on your hair also?
Well, it's the same hairdresser, you know.
He says you got in the chair and said, give me the Aiken and Seacrest.
My hair is a cross between Aiken and Seacrest. and I've got Clay's gayness.
Clay was terrible last night, by the way.
Did you see? I don't know why Simon is telling Clay that he's successfully lost all the facial expressions. That's all he did was mug for the camera, didn't you think?
How cool do you think he thought he was in his new suit, too?
Oh, God.
Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Am I the only one that noticed that?
For a second song?
I'm with you. Then there was that one point when he actually pointed at, was it somebody in the audience? And then put on some facial expression that was like, this is for you. This is for you. Oh, God, my hair looks terrible. My face is huge.
Hey, there's Aunt Michelle.
It couldn't be any worse. Oh, God, that's hard to look at. Oh,
there's your penis.
My dick isn't showing.
There's your dick. Yeah, your dick is on that x-ray. I was looking so hard for your dick. I told Tess to look for it, too.
It's that little peanut-shaped thing in the bottom right.
Oh, God, I look terrible, too.
No, you look pretty good. I think you look good.
No.
No, look washed out. Keep it going until the blue eyes light up. At some point, they really light up. Oh, there they went.
We need to get you
back
some,
it up.
We need to get you some blue contact.
Right, here we go. But I just saw him sparkle for a second. It's just before he looks to the left.
I'm an ad for Mr. There. Skin.
Wait. Not too fast.
I'm wearing a Mr. Skin shirt and hat.
Are you? Is that
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, I had a regular T-shirt on, and I changed into a Mr. Skin jersey because it was sitting around the office. Just put it on. These
you missed your intro.
Whoa, what happened?
Oh. You know what happened? Stop everything.
I was talking
stop
so nonchalantly, everything. Fully aware that your song was coming.
No, I got to tell you, this thing is moving frame by frame, and I'm looking at my face in all these incarnations. I was so horrified, I completely lost track of the room.
I can't even watch.
I swear to God. I mean,
hey, you look good.
Frame by frame, that's when I was making those expressions about the abdominal cramps. So I go into that like this. And when you see the frame by frame on that, all right, let's start that all over.
Tess was delighted that you got the word fetal position in.
I know.
The expression.
Yeah, that made it. All right, start it all over again so I can hit it.
I want you to know that you got an email from somebody who also had gallbladder problems, and they're relating to you.
Really?
To your medical situation.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're quite moved by the piece.
Well, hey, our job is to help everyone. I didn't realize I was so sick until I heard Huell introduce the piece. And then I realized, no, he did a great job. They all did a wonderful job. There's Mr. Walters.
Slow-mo.
Is a slow-mo a bitch?
Yeah, it is.
Look, I'm looking at my... Is that my bulletin board? No, whose is that?
Close on my head and no one else's?
It's pretty close on everybody's head.
You know what? It's a good thing I took down all those pictures off that bulletin board.
We took the penis off the TV, too.
Yeah.
It's funny when they finished the piece last night, and if you missed it, it was on Fox. Why don't we just roll the piece in real time, because it's really funny. That it's treated so seriously. That's what really cracks me up about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's some inner jokes at the end about your eating habits and stuff, but yeah. They really make it sound like you were in intensive care.
I know. I was
this doctor that got thrown in the mix, too.
He's file footage. He's not a doctor. He's like a producer at Fox, too. He is not a doctor. Trust me.
They got those x-rays off the web.
Those x-rays are from another piece they did years ago.
You gotta get Huell's intro.
Yeah, Huell is intense.
He's lying.
Oh, man.
Wait, back it up.
Hey, it's May Sweeps.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man. By the way, we got a promo on Idol, which was really unbelievable. In 24, you said.
Device, an update on Fox 2 News tomorrow morning.
HealthWorks.
He is part of the
the duo that rules the Detroit airwaves.
Ooh. But the laughter stopped when he got the health scare of his life.
The laughter stopped. Help
with reporter Dina Cetafante.
All right, 10:03 at 101 WRIF Detroit.
He's
I remember the laughter stopping.
Team that hundreds of thousands of Metro Detroiters tune into every
Dina.
Morning.
Oh, bringing stuff in.
The irreverent, yeah, raspy voice DJ who has spent the past 11 years sharing a show.
Wow, that's huge.
They are sarcastic.
Talking over each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shocking,
talking about some fat
but
person.
But rarely very serious. So when an illness that doctors couldn't diagnose forced Mike off the air, his rock and roll lifestyle turned suddenly somber.
Nice. I had these terrible abdominal cramps that just literally stooped over in like a fetal position. And these pains were relentless.
The gut-wrenching, crippling pain had actually started 2 years ago.
And everyone to the doctor, I kept blaming it on food poisoning or lack of sleep or that sort of thing.
I just knew something was wrong with him, and he's like most guys. I don't want to go to the doctor. He's, you know...
God, my voice sounds deep.
Not living an incredibly healthy lifestyle.
Nice eyes, too.
We have 6 minutes exactly.
Oh, great.
Actually, down about 5 minutes and 10 seconds for a cigarette.
He smokes, hates exercise, feasts on fatty foods, and likes to have a good time. That lifestyle...
Likes to have a good time.
Last November, Mike had to take a leave of absence from the airwaves.
There was times when I could do half the show and then go in our office and then lay down.
He let it go so long, he got very sick. Probably a lot sicker than if he had just gone to the doctor.
There were scans, tests, scopes. Finally, doctors delivered their diagnosis.
That one in my butt.
That one in your butt?
No.
Crazy.
Right here.
There's your dick.
Your gallbladder is
right
no bigger
here
than your thumb, yet it can be an enormous
pain. That's a fake doctor.
It can be extremely difficult to diagnose because it masquerades.
That's somebody's dad at Fox 2.
The gallbladder helps your body digest fat. So what causes it to fill up with little stones? One of two things, genetics or diet.
That's just an x-ray of a plate of eggs. Those stones pass this way and block that duct. That's what causes the pain.
Mike found out to get rid of that pain, he had to get rid of his gallbladder. That means
pictures on the door.
Yeah. The belly button. You cut, one tug, and it's gone.
If you freeze frame
that door,
it'd
be crazy. WRIF listeners were waiting and wondering.
The calls were getting to be a lot, the email too. And it, you know,
thanks, Mike. I know there are only two in reality. Thanks, Mike.
I've never seen a person who wants to get back to work more, actually. It was quite surprising.
Several weeks later, he was back in his chair.
Yeah, she looks good.
God, she's hot.
Lighter. Sense of humor? Still well intact.
Already my pants are starting to get a little tight. So.
Yeah, you seem like you're due for a fat phase.
Yeah.
That's self-worth.
Which is true. Oh, no. Oh, don't.
Absolutely.
Chris Maturin's with your Wednesday forecast.
Watch out below.
She's really glad you're back. Hey, Monica's glad you're back.
She is. I'll have to send her a thank you card. No, I'll have to call her first. I'll have to call her personally.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Don't. No.
Smiley face at the end of the piece.
So happy.
You're so happy to be healthy and back.
Yes.
We have It Is Nice.
May healthy in the bag. Mike, please,
there's
Mike.
There's a smell. It smells like a...
It smells like a... Mike, please.
Hello?
Pick up the TV, please.
Riff.
Mike, that's hard. Please.
Who's there?
Marty's got the Pat.
Hey, Pat, what's up?
I was just going to say, you can roll back to that doctor. He looks like he's sweating profusely. So I go, maybe he wasn't a real doctor. He's going to be totally nervous.
He was not a real doctor. That was not a real doctor's outfit. That was
that was in their wardrobe, their props.
Yeah, that was a wardrobe where they had lots of lights on the mirror.
It is nice.
You know, they did have another x-ray there, I think, that showed some kidneys. I wonder if there's an x-ray that has somebody's dick.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Meanwhile,
I doubt it.
Sminty slammed your Fox 2 story.
Oh!
Nice job, Clark. Nice getting us slammed.
Remember, he's railroaded.
I tried to stop it.
He was railroaded. I tried to stop it.
No, I don't know. Sminty's implying that, like, we had a trade with Dina Cetafani because she filled in. Which is really funny.
It might have been serious?
Yeah, I don't know. Dina Cetafani's medical piece the other day about Riff, Morning Rover Boy, Mike Clark. Constant readers of this daily dosage recall Clark missed most of November because of gallstones. Might have been newsworthy then, but Cetafani subbed for WRF Morning News anchor Trudy Daniels recently, so Clark's long-cured ailment suddenly merited sweeps month's coverage.
Ooh, ooh. She tried to get him to do that a while ago. It was the only way she could get him to do it.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I tried it's to actually, duck it. I just
wanted to do it back in January.
It's Mike Clark's fault? he's blaming it on Fox 2. Although they probably would have preferred to push it back to May anyway.
Well, yeah.
May sweeps.
Beat Madonna? He beat Madonna.
He beat Madonna?
Yes. The interview with Mike Clark beat the interview with Madonna. It was second for the night. You beat Judging Amy, too, you beat.
Did they break it down by the half an hour or the quarter hour? Did they really? No kidding. Did Dina call?
No, Joe over at Fox 2.
No kidding.
How do you like
Dina,
that?
If you're out there, please call. We need you to respond to this. Dina's taking a real hit here.
Did Smitty put that in there?
No.
Nice not putting that in, Smitty.
Does it on purpose?
How come that's not in there? Beat Madonna.
You want it in there? You put it in there.
How come you don't put that in there? How come you put this other crap in there? That ain't even true. You put the real stuff, you don't put in there. And that's using a lousy picture of me, too.
It's from the piece. The picture.
I know, and it's the worst part of it, too. It's like they went. He went.
You put that picture in there.
He went until there was a lousy look on my face, then froze it, then cut that to print.
You want 90 million? You take a picture.
There was lots of times there was a better picture to be had somewhere in that story. He waited till all of a sudden my face froze in the stupidest look I could get on my face and then said, print it.
Yeah, he didn't take the picture of you eating. He could have done that.
Yeah, he could have. I'm surprised he didn't.
As we can tell, there's nothing unique about Clark's procedure other than it was done in a celebrity.
Ooh.
Mostly it appeared to be a case of his poor diet and smoking habits biting him in the butt.
Oh!
Shot.
You don't get gallstones.
Glad Mike's feeling better.
Got that right.
Boy, there's the phone end of the century.
Yeah,
boy, we're just getting bit all over the place
on
this
piece. All
over
the place. And the gallstones, it wasn't even the reason. It was a million tests before they found that.
Everybody
up all the time for tests.
Everyone liked the piece, by the way. I'm not kidding you. I was at the Palace last night. I must have 10 people say, oh, it was great. I seen it on TV the other night.
Well, you guys
I was a big part of it.
Well, you were on it. You look wonderful. And the boys look great, Mark and Mike.
Clark accomplished Drew Lane ever does one of those Doug Podell hair transplants. Expect a 5-part series.
Ow!
Well, I know. Why am I taking a shot?
Taking shots at you.
What's the matter with Smitty these days?
Piling shots at
him. A secret camera piece that
Smitty,
wasn't...
Smitty, what's the matter with you? What's going on with you?
A secret camera piece that wasn't titillating? Strange but true. DIV's Ruth Spencer fronted a story on how some smoke detectors aren't loud enough to wake sleeping kids. Secret cameras...
You want better... You want a secret camera? You put a secret camera in there. You want a loud alarm? You put a loud alarm in there.
Secret cameras replacing two children's veterans when the alarm went off. One kid seemed flummoxed and forgot her family's fire drill training while the other dozed right through the racket. Yeah, whatever.
How come you didn't put in there Beat Madonna? That's the real story.
There you go. Ask him yourself.
I want Dina. I don't want Sminty. Hello, Sminty Fresh.
Hello.
You missed the real story. We beat Madonna. What's going on?
I was waiting for
that
the complaint
huge.
About the picture myself.
Local beat national.
Oh, the picture's already taking a pounding.
Oh, yeah, the picture. Nice, waiting until I had the stupidest look on my face and then freezing it and sending that out for print.
I spent a lot of time looking through that tape for the
lousiest picture you could find. That's what you did. You
captured the moment.
You looked for the stupidest look you could find on my face and then used it, didn't you?
No.
John,
why did you use the picture of him eating?
See, that's what I mean.
You probably tried to get that, and some editor stopped you.
Well, my point was that it worked for their ratings. You drew the people that failed Channel 2 because they couldn't pass up the 25-55 crowd that you guys draw.
Well,
that was my point.
But there was also some implication that Dina's subbing had something to do with this?
Well, I'm sure that was just coincidence.
It was a coincidence. Yeah, no, it totally was. That had nothing to do with it.
It gave her a chance to badger him in person to do the story, which he turned her down on before.
Well, of course, if Mike does the story in January, it's not a sweeps period.
Well, I know, but except he turned her down.
She didn't
avoid him until April.
I kept turning her down because the whole thing was embarrassing. I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do my golf. Oh, God. Yeah. And I kept turning it down. And then finally, when she was in subbing, she put me on the spot.
Well,
and then it was like, well...
Think, think of the disservice you did to all the people who smoke and who eat donuts every morning.
Well, they added that footage so that they could build it up going into it on the intro. Because you can't get gallstones from smoking.
You know, it's always something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I don't like the tone of this piece, Sminty.
Well, no, it's kind of a backhanded compliment. He's implying that they wanted our golden audience.
That's right.
Of 25 to 54 year olds, they couldn't resist.
That's right.
But I think it was a little bit of a cheap shot, implying that her subbing for Trudy that there was a trade involved. We had no idea she was going to be gone that day. That was just, in fact, Dina, we tried to get, Amy Lang was all set to fill in, and then she bagged out.
Yeah.
Dina was having a day off. Yeah. She was called into action.
Well, you know, as I said, it's coincidence and happenstance.
Mm. Sminty's not buying it.
You guys know there's no such thing as bad publicity, you know?
Oh, no, I'm not complaining. I think it's kind of nice. And I didn't think it was...
picture.
You could have found a worse picture.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should
have. A million of them.
I think the eating picture would have been better, actually.
Oh, don't listen to him.
Yeah, my question is, when is he going to do the full Podell for the May suite, for the July suite?
Oh, God. If I did something like that, I would never do a TV piece on that.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cole from the Windsor... Center.
Well, why doesn't Doug do it?
I don't know. I think it's too commercial now. He did the commercials first.
Yeah, that's true. But
first
he wouldn't.
I look at the first.
PR wouldn't hurt him any.
No.
Well, someone says we've been betrayed by Sminty.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a frequent guest of Dominski and Doyle, playing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Our game.
Oh, the Kevin Bacon game is a loser. I refuse to play the Kevin Bacon game anymore because I'm not good on movie titles. But I'm going over there on a Friday.
Applause to the Michigan Doyle Parents. Foghorn!
I bet you
plug into Michigan Doyle Parents, you'll go ahead and plug your own Michigan Doyle Parents.
Not only that, the time they put you and Mike, they're putting 971 after our name.
It has to do with Buffalo Chicken Wings.
How about that one?
Why was 97.1 after our name in the paper?
It was a mistake.
I
usually don't put the morning ratings in, and I've transposed some writing. And then the problem is I get phone calls every 5 minutes from people who want to talk about something. And at the moment I was typing in the right frequency, I got the phone call.
Happenstance.
Coincidence. There you go. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Sminty, do you have any insight on the Aretha Franklin story?
No, actually, I've been busy doing some other stuff at work, and I have no great contribution other than, you know, say the words Aretha Franklin, you know that something is always, you know, not what it seems.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me it is what it seems. She hasn't cleaned up her yard.
Well, there's a shock, isn't it?
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. Now, what is a good sweep? Is anybody doing any good sweeps? What's Scott Lewis doing this time?
Scott did a piece the other night about how the Wayne County prosecutors have moved out into Detroit precincts to help them prosecute cases so less stuff gets off the... there's less problems with prosecuting people, especially when shootings are involved. So that was a very up piece after, you know, months of criticizing Detroit police for various other things that went wrong, bad filing, bad evidence keeping, all that stuff.
Why doesn't someone do a story on Kwame Kilpatrick's 17 relatives who are on the city payroll? Mm. Is that coming?
It's quite possible. You know, only halfway through that.
Or is that too hot?
You know, it may be hard to do. It's hard work to get all those people on tape. You tend to
get them on tape. They can get people on tape. That's not hard. I mean, this guy gets 180 hours of overtime in Washington D.C. and New York right after he's elected.
Well, sure.
He didn't need a guy for 180 hours. That's ridiculous.
The TV people can better answer that question than I can, I think. But lately, they've been doing stories that are more or less slam dunks. Kevin Dietz did a piece about
strippers on the golf course.
No. He was doing a piece about about wheelchair fraud with Medicaid and. It was a slam dunk. The guy had already been convicted, and he was just awaiting appeal. And basically, you go to federal court, find the list of people who've been convicted, and do a story on them. It's not a lot of sweat. It's a slam dunk, and they were able to put the his attorney's, accused attorney's documents on the web page, so they're legally, it's a free ride. You don't have to worry about getting sued about exposing something.
There was a story about somebody who, why is he on the streets? He's a Romeo. He was going out on a date or something, and they may have murdered someone. Who did that story? You know what I'm talking about?
That was, I think, I want to say Channel 2. Was it Kerry Birmingham?
Did you see the story? I didn't see the story. I just saw the tease.
I didn't. I'm a little behind on my tapes. I tape all the newscasts and then watch them sometimes a day later, sometimes 2 days later, depending on what I'm doing.
How about, this wasn't a really sweep story, I don't think. What was the deal with Bob Gwinney last night? I kept seeing this tease for Bob Gwinney.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I don't know.
Well,
yeah,
you know, he's doing this, he's basically cashing in on being an ex bachelor guy, and he's doing, I think he's doing a woman's trade show that I think is today, as a matter of fact.
Well, they were teased that he was going to be in a wedding, I think. Was that what it was?
There might have been a wedding at that show.
Okay, all right. Hasn't he gotten enough poon out of this thing?
God, man, nope. I know, it's months after the...
There is no limit to self-promotion. You guys know that.
All right, Sminty.
I'm off to work.
We expect a better picture next time.
Ask Mike, should I keep that in the archives, Mike?
No.
I think you should prove that wasn't the worst picture you could have used of Mike by picking other worst pictures out of the piece.
You don't have to
picture election again?
No, I've already
that
said.
Was fun.
I've already said, and it's more than true. There's a billion more pictures that would have made me look 1,000 times worse.
Well, I've still got the tape. Let me look back at it.
No, that's all right.
I need some space to fill on Monday. Perhaps a Mike W. Clark second annual picture election.
I'll find a picture and send it to you. No,
you
don't.
Let that one.
Oh, God. Let's just get out of this conversation before it gets worse.
See you, Smitty.
All right, bye.
Nobody's done the story yet.
No.
Excuse me, something's still a story until someone's done it.
True.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
You come out, Aretha?
Yeah.
What about her?
My girlfriend's dad's a retired ophthalmologist, and he lives in that neighborhood.
Oh.
I've been hearing about it for years, that house.
Oh, she bummed about what a mess it is?
Oh, big mess.
Yeah.
I mean, you made money clean up. There's boxes and furniture piled up against the windows. And
oh, God.
Lawn and bushes overgrown.
It's a storage house. It's not a residence.
She said at one time they had a gopher problem so bad the front lawn looked like they had planted landmines all over.
Oh, my God. Isn't that disgusting?
Isn't
and everybody has to look at this crap.
And they're telling them right now that they're waiting for insurance payments. That's what the whole
thing is. Oh, I see.
Well, she doesn't have any money. She couldn't go ahead and pay for the cleanup and relieve the neighborhood of a little bit of stress in the meantime.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Drew, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
Not too bad. First time I ever got the chance to talk to you guys when you guys first started.
Thanks for listening.
No problem. The news with Bob Gwinney?
Yeah.
Supposedly singing at Trista and Ryan's wedding.
Oh, stop it. Jesus.
Oh, that was the big deal. I guess he's using his little band act to sing at the wedding.
Suppose his band was pretty good.
Well,
you mean they're just doing the reception, or he's singing like one of the pre-wedding
reception? Yeah, I would guess.
I don't know. He just said that he was asked to sing, or he's going to be singing at the wedding for Twister and Ryan.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Yeah, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
I would think the reception, honestly.
WRIF, who's there?
Marcy?
Hey, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I'm cruising Aretha's neighborhood. You turn down this nice little court, this cul-de-sac, and there it looks like a bomb went off. That pile of stuff is just huge. And the piano's still there.
Yeah, I saw the picture with the piano and...
The side of the house is just blown out.
You know, it's funny, this pile of junk, it's like, you wonder, what is some of this stuff? There's this big roller? What the hell were they using that for?
I don't know. I see furniture and just a lot of trash.
Plywood and, yeah. What a junk house.
It looks so horrible. I'm down this pretty street with all these wonderful houses. It's mm-hmm. so serene. And then you see this war scene.
And what a class act. She's waiting for the insurance company. As if she can't afford to spend a few thousand bucks cleaning the crap up.
Right, really.
Well, hey, appreciate it, Marcy.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.
All right.
I got a bone.
Where'd you go to school?
Like that together.
Miami of Ohio.
That's right. We talked about that.
In Oxford, Ohio.
Dina, did you see all those cheap shots in the newspaper today?
I heard about them. I'm actually in my car, and so somebody read me the just a little blurb, right?
Did you feel violated?
No. I mean, that's his gig, you know.
Oh, Dina, you were supposed to say yes.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think he's a little off the mark. I mean, it timed out. You know, I happened to be filling in for Trudy, and timed out that Mike finally said, yeah, I'll do the story. And any, you know, when we do health news, we love to have an interesting central character to build the story around. And,
isn't it a fact that I turned the thing down for enough time? I mean, finally.
Yeah.
You put me on the spot, and then we swung it around and did it. But
right.
I turned it down for a long time because I was, frankly, embarrassed to do it.
A lot of people have gallstones and don't know it. The doctor in the piece from Providence, Dr. Romaine, he too went months in pain without getting his problem diagnosed.
Was that a real doctor in that piece?
Yeah.
I thought that was your dad, and you just brought him in and put a coat on him and pretended he was a doctor.
He's the maintenance guy at Fox, too. I put a white coat on him. He was sleeping on the floor, and I said, hey, come over here.
Dina, isn't it true that Mike was a big ratings winner?
Yeah. So, it was good.
Oh, she sounds like she's just going along with me. But that's what I really heard. I mean, I didn't know that, but I heard that he beat Madonna.
Yeah, I think in our market, I think that the Mike Clark story beat out Madonna. I don't know if it was just for that quarter hour or for...
Well, Mike wasn't on in any other market, so he didn't have a chance to beat her nationally.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, no. A lot of your listeners tuned in, and it was an interesting story. We weren't saying that it was groundbreaking research about gallbladders, but it's an interesting story about what can happen if you go too long without diagnosing a problem.
I thought it was really good because, according to you, the morning of the story, you hadn't done any of the work on it. It was not edited. You were just finished writing it. And the way you threw that thing together, I thought it was just going to be a haphazard piece of junk, but it was really good.
Yeah, no, you have to have faith in me, Drew.
It was awesome.
I wondered if you were sandbagging a little bit, because I have this theory that if you're going to lie about your age, you should say you're older than you are, because then people go, God, you look so young. Or if you're going to rehab, you should say you do more drugs than you do, because then people go, God, how did you do your job?
Right.
And I thought maybe you had the piece done months ago or weeks ago, but you just were saying, oh, God, I'm just throwing it together at the last minute. So we go, God, is she a wizard?
Yeah, it's all about keeping expectations low.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was really good.
It really was.
Do you have any other pieces coming up?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm working on a piece with hypnosis to quit smoking.
Uh-huh.
This lady says in one session she can hypnotize you and you'll never smoke again.
Really?
So we're working on that, and I'm in my car at the garden center, and I'm drawing a total blank. But we've got some good stuff in the works.
Hey, was it you guys who were having the piece? And I don't know if you always watch your newscast. You should, of course. But I think there was something about a guy who's this big Romeo. And they were saying that, but was he responsible for the death of some woman?
Yes.
Did that story run?
I think that was Kerry Birmingham's story last night.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. Do we have that on TiVo? Do you know, Mike? How did that story go? Did you see it?
I didn't.
You didn't?
But,
okay.
But it will be on again. I always catch him usually the next day in our 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on again today.
Your story on Mike ran, Lucy and Al ran it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want it. That's a good time because it was pretty long, and sometimes when they're too long, they don't run them in the morning. So that was good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, not to mention
all
the competition amongst you queen bees over there.
I bet you Lucy wanted to run it because she's your fan.
She seemed sincere. Yeah. I don't know. Al was just, he was phoning it in, though. He did not care. Huell and Monica, I think they showed genuine concern for Mike at the end of the story.
And sincerity, and a great warmth came off them in the end when they were so happy for me.
Yeah, they came up to me the next day and they said, is he really okay? Are you sure he's okay?
Yeah, but...
I said, he is. Monica, he is. Stop worrying about him.
Yeah. Listen to Lucy at the end, and Lucy may be phoning this in, too. I'm not sure.
Well,
glad Mike's feeling better.
Got that right. Time now is 8:27.
Al phoned that in. He doesn't care.
No, he does.
Listen to this.
Glad Mike's feeling better.
Got that right. Time now is 8:27.
Got that right. What's that all about?
you know, they were probably saying that, they were probably rapping them, telling them to hurry up and get to the break.
Well, otherwise, I said, I care a lot about him. Well, it's 8:27.
Well, how much do you guys care about Alan? It's really...
I care a lot about him. If we had a piece on him, I'd express a lot of concern at the end of it.
There's no question.
Right. I've seen Al huffing and puffing at Franklin Racquet Club. I'm concerned about his health.
No, I think that they both were concerned. I think everyone at Fox 2 is
well,
concerned
that Mike's doing. Al does huff and puff at Franklin Racquet Club. He plays hoops. He's a good hoop player, believe
he
it or not.
He plays hoops?
Al,
he says that he is a really good basketball player.
He's pretty good.
My
but,
God.
But he does huff and puff. I think he'd get down the court a little quicker if he skipped a meal or two.
Hi now.
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
Throwing sorry.
Sorry.
You're supposed to be huffing and puffing when you play basketball.
I know, but he looks like there's a little more strain in his heart than most of the other players.
Yeah, at least he's getting out there and playing.
No, I know. Actually, he moves pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Dino. Well, hey, thanks. That was a great piece.
Thank you.
Sorry you got savaged in the paper.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's all right. I can take it.
I know. According to Sminty, any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you tell him? Did you tell him we're going to do the sequel about your sore throat, Drew?
Oh no, I didn't say that. He was suggesting a sequel on hair transplants.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Who's had hair transplants?
Well, he wants me. He said, if I have hair transplants, you'll do a 5-part series on me.
Oh.
See, I tell you, there were shots all over the page.
It was unbelievable. We were shocked ourselves. We were in shock and awe. I know. I'm Sminty.
I'm still reeling.
Yeah, well.
I don't know what the deal is.
I'm glad you're okay, though.
I'm okay. I'm over it already.
Okay.
So.
See you, Dina.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Well,
poor Dina, she's always put on the spot.
I know. She gets in the middle.
I know.
She's learning.
There's just way too much Dina.